follow InfoWarriors? It's about to get hardcore. Brace yourselves. We're about to show some graphic video. We showed a little bit yesterday, right before the young lady got stabbed on the subway. Well, the full footage has been released. Warning you, this is graphic. Here it is. There you can see that demon just stabbed her, sliced her three times and walked away. You can see the life slowly leaving Irena Zakutska. There she is. She collapsed on the floor. You can see the puddle of blood. You can see the trail of blood. Here it is again. Three slices to the neck. She's not even aware of what's going on at this point. She's finally figuring it out as the life is draining from her body. This should piss every American off. And she's not even an American. And it's come out that he said, oh, I got that white girl. She didn't do anything to him. But he's been told through the media and through all the services around him, she's been told. He's been told. How to view white people. And there's that look of horror that she's got on her face. What did I do? Right there. That should piss you off. Alex had a few words to say on this. Why don't y'all play Alex's rendition right there where Alex had some comments on it. I got to get myself together. I'm pissed.
Just got released. Warning, this is graphic. They don't show the killing, but now they're showing more footage of how she didn't die immediately. This is right after he stabs her in the neck three times. She didn't die immediately. You can see how terrified she was and how she suffered immensely until her end. Words cannot describe how heartbreaking and infuriating this is. Wow. So now they've released more after he stabs her three times in the carotid artery. And notice CNN isn't going to be showing this. Oh, they showed you George Floyd all day long. And they'll show you footage of white crazy stabbing black people. We've shown it too. And it's wrong. But again, it's the statistic shelter of 15-1 conservatively black on white crime that you cover up and that CNN says is an epidemic of white crime on blacks and Asians. It doesn't even exist against Asians. You can't even find those statistics. Remember the public service announcements 3 years ago?
We covered that yesterday.
Oh, the epidemic of white on Asian crime.
Guys, come back to me.
The epidemic of unicorns.
We covered that yesterday. How the other, white on other, or other on white, was like 600,000. And it's just because they wouldn't say black people. And then we showed how on the big board over here, the number of black men that were considered white people. All right, I'm going to break it all down when we get back and show you how Soros is involved in this. Believe it or not, what a surprise. Soros is behind another race war. Here it is. There's the face right there. Face of anguish.
Hey, Chase. Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move. Told that white people are the devil and the cause of all his problems. So what does he do? Mentally deranged, lashes out, and slices the throat of a Ukrainian immigrant. Riding on the train, public transportation, you see the trail of blood everywhere. And you can see, as she's slowly passing out, she's probably getting that tunnel vision about this time. She starts moving a little bit more, but that's it. Here it is on InfoWars. We have to respond with force and strength. We have to be vicious just like they are. Trump unloads on Democrat-run cities, bloodthirsty criminals in the wake of brutal murder of Ukrainian refugee Irina Zartutska. And he's right. We can't take this line down anymore. We have to come at force with force. I'm your host, Rob Due. Thank you for joining me today. Now, why was this guy on the street so many times? He's been arrested 14 times throughout his career, going back to when he was 14, 15 years old. 14-time criminal. New magistrate judge Teresa Stokes, who released 14-time criminal DeCarlos Brown Jr., is also the director of operations at Second Chance Services, a mental health and addiction clinic in Charlotte, North Carolina. Does this judge release violent criminals into her treatment center to get paid by a government contract? Investigate this racket. Shows here on her, this is her LinkedIn, director of operations, Second Chance Services, from 2023 to current. Magistrate judge, state of North Carolina, 2023, current. She figured out a way to game the system. There was a story a while back here in Texas where this judge was increasing the sentences of boys and sending them to this foster home that he had a direct financial conflict or financial interest in. Judge promised let career criminal walk free to butcher Ukrainian refugee after his mom said he should be locked up. Even his mother said he should be locked up. Oh, but not Judge Stokes. Judge Stokes has got to stoke the racial fire. This is from Laura Loomer. This is an exclusive. Teresa Stokes, the DEI-appointed magistrate judge who isn't even admitted to the North Carolina bar and released DeCarlos Brown Jr. before he brutally murdered Ukrainian refugee Irina Zartutska, is married to a woman. She's a lesbian, but not just any lesbian. And I'll show you the proof of that in 1 second. She is Teresa Ann Stokes and Anna Rosalind Ballard applied for a marriage license in Ingram County, Michigan in April of 2019. Teresa and Anya are a married couple that apparently enjoy working together. In 2021, they were working together at their halfway house fried chicken joint, Wing Heaven Sports Haven in Lansing, Michigan. They are both directors of the Pinnacle Recovery Group, a nonprofit corporation in Lansing, Michigan. Wow, how'd they get down to North Carolina? Since the lesbian married couple relocated to North Carolina, Teresa Stokes was appointed as a Mecklenburg County magistrate, and her wife, Anya Ballard, is a healthcare provider affiliated with a Charlotte, North Carolina mental health and addiction clinic that specializes in court-ordered evaluations. It's worth mentioning that Charlotte, North Carolina is located in Mecklenburg County, the same jurisdiction that her magistrate wife presides over. This extreme connection deserves further scrutiny. Did they coordinate in their respective professions? Perhaps there should be an investigation into the mental health and court evaluations overseen by Teresa Stokes' wife. How convenient for her wife. She's married to a magistrate judge with a soft spot for violent criminals and drug addicts. Very alarming. And Laura Loomer, of course, put in the receipts. Here we can see the marriage license, Teresa Ann Stokes, right there, Lansing, Michigan, Annalyn Ayana Rosalind Ballard, right there, Lansing, Michigan, age 42, age 46. Ayana Ballard is an individual health care provider with a primary practice located in Charlotte, North Carolina. She recently has only one registered license in other service providers' peer specialists, which is considered her primary health care specialty. And they list her information there. That's from Laura Loomer. This is the annual report for the domestic nonprofit corporation Pinnacle Recovery Group. And it lists both Ayana Ballard and Teresa Stokes as directors. This is in Lansing, Michigan. So they had their, I guess, their revolving door, their criminal revolving door, their violent criminal revolving door in Michigan. And then at some point they move. I bet there's an incident in Michigan that made them move. And here they are now. So DeCarlos Brown has a number of court-ordered evaluations that include the most recent for schizophrenia. Yeah, the voices were talking to him. Wonder what kind of SSRIs they had him on. Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department interacted with Brown on three different times in 2024 and referred him to resources. CMPD has not answered Bruno about what those resources are. Second Chance Services. We are a mental health and addiction clinic in Charlotte, North Carolina, offering peer support services, therapy, substance abuse treatment, dual diagnosis care, telehealth services, court ordered evaluations. Who's ordering those evaluations? Oh, maybe the magistrate. We're committed to helping individuals and families and putting people back on the streets. So what we're about to show you can happen over and over again. Please roll that video again in case people missed it, didn't tune in for the first 5 minutes. Here it is. Slices. She didn't even know what's going on right now. Just wanted to come to America for a new life. And guys, I don't know if y'all can find the tweet, but there's a tweet and it's circling all the people that are sitting around there just watching what happened and then going about their business. Y'all can find that. Just post it up at any time. From the Washington Examiner, judge who released Charlotte light rail killer has a history of addiction activism. North Carolina magistrate judge is under fire for allowing a schizophrenic repeat offender to walk free without bond 7 months before he fatally stabbed Ukrainian refugee on a Charlotte light rail train in an unprovoked attack that has horrified the community. Oh, let's just go ahead and say it, and the world. How about the entire world? Right there, and the world. Magistrate Judge Teresa Stokes released DeCarlos Brown Jr., 34, on January 21st on a written promise to appear after he was arrested and charged with misusing the 9-11 system during a police welfare check. Brown, who was homeless and diagnosed with schizophrenia, told officers he believed man-made material was implanted in his body, controlling his movements. He had been arrested many times previously. When officers advised him it was a medical matter and left, Brown became agitated and called 911, prompting officers to arrest and charge him with a class one misdemeanor. Despite his violent criminal history, mental illness, and lack of fixed address, Stokes let him go with no bond required. On August 22nd, police say Brown boarded a Charlotte area transit system without paying fare, jumping the gates. That's where it starts. Starts with jumping the gates, ends with stabbing young 23-year-old Ukrainians, and stabbed 23-year-old Irina Zatutska in the neck as she sat alone. She died on the scene. Her family said she fled war-torn Ukraine in search of a safer life and new beginning in the United States. Oh, well, we didn't tell you about the Soros Foundation. Even Brown's mother said the court system has failed the community by releasing her son, telling reporters that he had been under psychiatric monitoring after a schizophrenic diagnosis in 2014 and became so aggressive she had to remove him from her home. Brown's criminal record includes armed robbery conviction in 2014, an assault charge on his sister in 2021, and multiple other arrests. Critics have blasted Judge Stokes for ignoring his past and releasing him despite clear warning signs. In the following days of the killing, social media users have flooded the Facebook page of Second Chance Services Unlimited, a Charlotte mental health provider alleging Stokes worked there. The organization responded by saying, "This has nothing to do with us. This is a behavioral health clinic helping people in the community with substance abuse and mental health issues. Please stop posting on this page." But Stokes' name appears on the now deleted bold profile listing as her director of operations and a magistrate. What is verifiable is Stokes previously co-founded a separate mental health venture called Pinnacle Recovery Services in 2015 in Michigan. And we showed you that. And you can see on her LinkedIn in Charlotte right here. It's her little LinkedIn. Teresa A. Stokes, Charlotte. Director of Operations, Second Chance Services. Magistrate Judge. And we had that up there. Let's pull that back up again. Let's see how many people were there. One, two, three, four, five. Five people. One of them looks like he's getting up to leave. Nobody's helping. Charlotte, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Need a good look at yourself. This is the community you've produced. People that don't care. People that don't care, insane, violent criminals, and judges that put them back on the streets. FBI Director, Transportation Security, investigating Charlotte stabbing matter. In fact, we have a tweet from Colin Rugg. Breaking, the Department of Justice has smacked DeCarlos Brown Jr. with federal charges after the horrific slaying of a Ukrainian refugee. FBI Director Kash Patel and AG Pam Bondi said they are seeking the maximum penalty. This was a disgraceful act. It should never happen in America, Patel said. The FBI jumped to assist in this investigation immediately to ensure justice is served. I want to thank Attorney General Pam Bondi for her pursuit of today's federal charges, which is the first step towards delivering justice for Irina and her family, as millions of Americans who deserve to live in our great American cities free from being targeted by violent criminals. Guys, yesterday we played a long video from Will Cain. If we could just go... If y'all could scroll up to the part where he goes to the big board on the Fox big board and he's showing the statistics, not in the beginning, cause then it zooms in on the one just where we could see. I don't even need to see the, him talking. I just want to see the statistics again and we can look at them. Here's Mayor Andy Shore. Stop by Wing Heaven Sports Haven for lunch and the opportunity to meet the new owners, Teresa and Iana. Check out the new Sober Wings Bar at Martin Luther King Boulevard for wonderful food and atmosphere. House of Manifestation prevents independence at Wing Haven, MLK Boulevard. Drag show, one free hookah and fireworks included. So this was going on back in Lansing, Michigan. So they're having drag. Look at it. Notice how... It's the weird drag queens. It's letting out criminals. It's having no accountability. That's the left. And they do this under the guise of going, oh, we don't want to be hard on violent criminals. But here's where Soros comes in. Open Society Foundations, founded by George Soros, have been deeply involved in criminal justice reform, including the leading advocacy for federal Second Chance Act of 2007, which provides grants for reentry programs and services aimed at helping individuals transition back into society after incarceration. These reentry initiatives are commonly described as second chance services in the context of reducing recidivism and supporting formerly incarcerated people. There is no evidence of direct funding to a specific organization named Second Chance Services. Work has been broadly supported and influenced the ecosystem, such as programs through grants, coalitions, and policy advocacy. Oh, you think we're not going to find
Open Society Foundation money behind this? Megan Basham posted this. Another factor in the death of Irina Zartutska on Charlotte's light rail is the Left Wing MacArthur Foundation that gave Mecklenburg County a $3.3 million grant to reduce the jail population as part of racial equity aims. Like Soros' Open Society, the MacArthur Foundation incentivizes local municipalities to make residents less safe by leaving threats like DeCarlos Brown on the street. There you can see their safety justice challenge. John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Where do you hear that name all the time? If you ever listen to NPR, they're also helping. In 2020, Mecklenburg County was awarded its second grant in the amount of $1 million from the MacArthur Foundation as part of a safety and justice challenge to continue supporting the county's efforts to develop and implement strategies capable of positively impacting the main drivers of local jail population. And here's a stat. Despite making up 47% of the local population, African Americans and Hispanics make up 82% of the jailed population. So in order to right that wrong, we have to release these criminals back on the streets. Now, here is what I was alluding to earlier. This is from 2023 interracial violent crime incidents. 117,900 white on black crime. Black on white crime. 385,400. Unknown on black, 198,000. Unknown on white, 607,410,000. And then we showed you how they classify most black criminals when they come into the justice system, depending on which city. Oh, most of them are seen as white people. And we showed that yesterday. Why is the media so quiet about this? That's what you have to ask yourself. Why are they so quiet about this? We need a lot more investigations into what is going on across our country into this. Because you think it's just Charlotte? No, these are happening everywhere. And there's a revolving door where they let these criminals out. It happens in Austin. They let criminals out. And they love it. The older millennial posted, I wasn't even aware judges didn't have to go to law school. And magistrate judges release violent criminals without bail often aren't even lawyers. It's activists. So they're judges technically, but they're activists. That's all they are. That's who's letting people back out on the street. People with no business, no knowledge of the law, no knowledge of the Constitution, no knowledge of the Bill of Rights. This video right here. All right, let's go to that video right now. Here it is.
Go to law school? Yeah. Not even a lawyer. Are these magistrate judges that are making a decision to release these people without bail? Did you know the judge that released this guy didn't even go to law school? Yeah. Not even a lawyer. Are these magistrate judges that are making a decision to release these people without bail? Yeah, they're not even lawyers. They didn't go to law school. They didn't pass the bar. They just got appointed to be judges. No training required. Oh yeah, and that's the case in states like North Carolina, South Carolina, West Virginia, Virginia, Texas, Arizona. They don't even have to be lawyers, but they can be judges. They don't have to go to law school. They don't have to pass the bar. However, they sit in judgment over people who did. How the fuck is this a thing? How the fuck do we have judges who didn't even study the law? How did this ever become a thing? That's one of the most insane things I've ever heard. Like, to be somebody's lawyer, you have to go to law school, you got to pass the bar. Like, just to represent a client, you have to do that. To be able to prosecute that person, you got to go to law school, you got to pass the bar. But to be the judge, to be the person overseeing these lawyers, to be the ultimate arbiter of the law, you don't have to go to law school, you don't have to pass the bar. How is this a fucking thing?
Apologies for the three F-bombs there, but we are in some crazy times. This just broke. Older millennial put this out. And he's pissed off too. You should be as pissed off as him, if not more. And you should be going to your local magistrate judges and asking them, are you guys putting criminals back on the streets so they can prey on people again? That's what you need to be doing. Guys, put up that Trump article again. That was from InfoWars. We started off the show with that. See if I have it here. We got a lot of articles. I didn't even get a chance. I was so blown away by that video. Here it is. Right here. We have to respond with force and strength. We have to be vicious just like they are. Trump unloads on Democrat-run cities. And this isn't a black or white thing. This is a mentality thing. These Democrats have the mentality that they are allowed to prey on us and leave criminals out there to prey on us so they can control things. You have this video ready? Let's go to it.
Far too long, Americans have been forced to put up with Democrat-run cities that set loose savage, bloodthirsty criminals to prey on innocent people. Really, very, very innocent people. In every place, they control radical left judges, politicians, and activists, and they've adopted a policy of catch and release for thugs and killers. In Charlotte, North Carolina, we saw the results of these policies when a 23-year-old woman who came here from Ukraine met her bloody end on a public train. And here's a picture of it. This is the picture of it. And this is a picture of the woman, a beautiful young girl that never had problems in life, with a magnificent future in this country. And now she's dead. She was slaughtered by a deranged monster who was roaming free after 14 prior arrests. We cannot allow a depraved criminal element of violent repeat offenders to continue spreading destruction and death throughout our country. We have to respond with force and strength. We have to be vicious just like they are. It's the only thing they understand. 24 of the top 25 most dangerous cities in America are run by Democrat mayors. 50 people were murdered in Chicago in recent weeks, with hundreds being shot. And it's time to stop this madness. The people of our country need to insist on protection, safety, law, and order. We have proven that it can be done because we did it right here in D.C., in District of Columbia, the capital of America, was a bloodthirsty, horrible, dangerous place, one of the worst. And now it's a crime-free city, and we're going to keep it that way. It can be done. It can happen fast. All we want is, please, Mr. President, we need help. Chicago needs help. Other cities need help. We'll do what has to be done because we're going to make America safe again. And that includes our big cities. We're going to make those cities safe. Thank you.
It's about time we have a president like that, talking just like that. And people are going, oh, well, he's going to put troops on the streets. Not to round up guns, not to round up people, but to go after the criminals. And, you know, he's the commander in chief. He's the commander in chief. In fact, I'm going to have Joe Biggs on. He's going to host the last 2 hours, but for the first 5 minutes, I've got a video I want to play for him and see what he thinks about it. We've had constitutional lawyer on, Stuart Rhodes, who said Trump has the ability to do this. He can do this. When these demtards can't do the basics of keeping people safe and just running their cities like normal and not stealing everything, you have to go in and do something. But you got to clean house. You got to get rid of these people. I can't believe they're still being voted in. I mean, it's like a mental illness across the world of letting criminals do whatever the hell they want.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. It's been helping me out for the last 3 years, last 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble bashing, like, getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on at my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about methylene blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it because you had to buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the methylene blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our methylene blue, and it's kept you regress, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
right now? I'm walking.
Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to, don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly, where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the methylene blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down. And I was trying to find like a concoction.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that's great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the methylene blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is,
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well,
thank
you.
Thank
you for sharing your story.
And
thank you for helping your family, too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know. But, no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it? Into the war room. Thank you for joining us once again. We're going to go to this snuff film. This is exactly what this is, a light rail snuff film. There's the young lady minding her own business, staring at her phone. 3 hits to the neck. What did I do? I had a Black Lives Matter poster in my room. I wasn't racist. What happened? This reminds me of the couple who was biking across Afghanistan, I think. Or some others, might have been Turkmenistan or something. They were biking across to prove how not racist they were and how open they were. And I think they got robbed and killed on the side of the road. It's a story from a few years ago. There's the face right there. But Black Lives Matter is what she's thinking. But I thought Black Lives Matter. Yeah. See, when you say Black Lives Matter, that means your life doesn't matter. And that's how he felt. And apparently there's audio of him walking around saying, I got that white girl, got that white girl. My guest, we're going to talk about a few other things, but I mean, this video is kind of taking the country by storm, is Jay Dyer from jaysanalysis.com. You can also find him on YouTube at Jay Dyer. Jay, what's your reaction to this? It just came out about an hour ago.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because, as you said, it keeps being replayed, and it's almost kind of like you don't want to look at it. And it's unfortunately illustrative because it shows that no matter how much virtue signaling you do, no matter how much you try to prove that you're not racist, even if you're absolutely not, it really doesn't matter into – it doesn't factor in. It doesn't really matter because that's not how this works. A lot of people have been brainwashed. A lot of people have been agitated and supported by the media to enact this kind of behavior. And what happens is they – if people believe that they're oppressed and that they've been slighted, they then feel like they're justified in any of the actions that they take. And this actually appeals to the criminal section of society. They can then, in a very cunning way, step into this and utilize this excuse as a way to excuse their bad behavior.
And by criminals, you mean the entire Democrat Party, because they think if their feelings are hurt, then they can stop people from speaking. They can get in the middle of the road and stop people from driving. They think they can burn down cities. I mean, what else do they do? Murder people in the streets? Kind of all of the above, because their feelings are hurt.
It's a foreign, almost a foreign invasion force, you could say, that's being sort of armed and militarized and supported by the mainstream media, because obviously there's a lot of money behind it, foreign interest behind it, corporate interest behind it. And so it's very strategic and planned out. Another example of this in history is if you study the French Revolution, this is exactly what the revolutionaries did. They didn't really have a whole lot of people to support the Jacobin Revolution at first. So what they did was they emptied out the prisons and just said, have free reign, start a revolution. So they sort of marshaled the criminal energy, and that was the revolution. And then it became more of a political thing, and you got more and more people supporting it, particularly, believe it or not, the merchant class and other banking elites in the French Revolution were behind that. So it's a very interesting parallel to today with these sort of Soros, NGO, internationalist elites that will fund and push these things in the U.S. By design through NGOs, through the Democratic Party, as you said, which really they're just bigger criminal organizations.
Yeah. And what you're describing is pressure from below, which is the subclasses running around acting crazy, the criminals, the malcontents, the brain damaged. And then on top of that, it's being funded by these giant foundations, these banks, the elite criminal class to basically wipe out the middle class. So at the end of the day, there's only one rule, because, of course, the underlings can always be disposed of in the end. And that's usually what happens to them. Those who serve Satan will end up becoming one of his victims.
Yeah, it's really an attack intentionally on Western peoples as a whole. And that includes Caucasian peoples, because whether you care about race or white people, these strategists do care about it, because they see that the rule of law, the kind of principles and ethics that we have in the West, even if you don't believe in ethics or objective ethics, from the strategy standpoint, that has to be eroded so that you can have a kind of socialist technocratic tyranny. Until you remove rule of law and the firewalls and the checks and balances, it's a lot more difficult to push through these socialist, leftist, communist types of revolutions. But that's exactly what's happening. And they keep trying all these different ways and angles to push this. But one of the things they have to do, as even Dr. John Coleman said in many of his books, is to get rid of rule of law, constitution, nationalism, patriotism, and the open borders as a part of that, to then break down the existing people groups, to then push forward basically the democratic socialist line that you're talking about.
And that starts with, let's have judges who aren't even trained in the law. We'll just start there, because that way we'll just get this, kind of scrum at the bottom of just, hey, we're just going to put criminals back out on the streets. We're going to see what happens. And then you got guys like this who are schizophrenic, obviously needs mental help, obviously needs to be in prison because he's violent. And it's just like, well, you know, we're going to let him back out. You know, he's been out 14 times. And obviously this judge didn't let him out all 14 times, this magistrate judge, but she definitely let him out at the end. And that's where why everybody's pissed.
Again, it's parallel to the French Revolution, because when they opened up the prisons and the Bastille and these places, what they said was, go after anyone middle class and upper middle class, and of course the royalty as well, because they're the oppressors. The only difference is that nowadays it's not so much an economic oppression as it is they're saying that everybody who's from white Western European descent is actually the, colonial tyrannizer that's oppressing you. In fact, I was at Jamestown a couple of days ago after I gave a talk in DC, and we stopped in at the museum. No surprise there. I think it has Rockefeller funding, if I recall. The Jamestown Colony Museum, right? The first settlers from Virginia. Guess what the whole exhibit is? Climate change, colonialism is bad, and it's time to give up all your rights because we have to have some kind of, to do with like history. It's climate change is what the exhibit talks about.
And don't look at how they used to make clothing or eat food or hunt or how their houses used to be. No. It's climate change. That's why they left Britain, was because of climate change.
Yeah, the king was pushing, too many smokestacks. There were too many, what do you call the guys who like go in the pipe cleaners?
Chimney sweeps.
Too many chimney sweeps. We got to stop all that. Yeah. Depopulate the chimney sweeps because that's Earth's problem. But yeah, this is socialism. And it's funny you mentioned the judicial branch because we just kind of like when the COVID happened, the coof, we kind of overlooked this angle of the tyranny trying to slip in through the medical agenda. Not that nobody ever talked about the medical agenda. I know Alex did. I know Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, other people did. But we kind of weren't looking at that. So it was a kind of a curveball. Likewise, in the last several years, I know that everybody InfoWars is well aware that the judiciary is also a key way to slip in the tyranny that people overlook because we always think about the president and the federal government, the CIA. And we forget about, things like the judicial branch, but going all the way back to Judge Louis Brandeis and a lot of the Supreme Court judges over the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years, they've also tended to be, believe it or not, open Fabian socialists who would push for these kinds of agendas a long time ago.
Yeah, and you see it all the way up to the Supreme Court. Ketanji Brown Jackson, how many times has she said, I don't know, I don't understand? She doesn't understand anything, it seems like. She has no concept of the law, but that's why they put her in. That's like, oh, you're perfect. You don't understand anything. We can mold you to how we want. Just stick a couple handlers into her. I want to go to this CNN video and kind of bookend what we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes. CNN, of course, is saying, oh, Charlie Kirk is making this into a white thing, a racial thing, not seeing the obvious racial overtones. And even though the guy's out there saying, I got that white girl, he's literally admitting it's a racial thing. Here's that clip.
Voters, once they called attention to it.
So certain people have been looking for an opportunity to find a case like this, to make a point like this. I want to play, this is Charlie Kirk, why he says this hasn't gotten a lot of attention.
A white Ukrainian refugee was murdered just because she was white. Everybody knows that, obviously. If a random white person simply walked up to and stabbed a nice law-abiding black person for no reason, it would be an apocalyptically huge national story used to impose national sweeping political changes on the whole country. Instead, Megan Basham, no one seems to care when a white woman gets stabbed to the death.
Wow. He said white a lot.
Well, we are talking about it here. So I guess I don't think that's fair. Look, being in the system, because I have represented people who are mentally ill, and here's the balance. The balance is taking away people's freedom versus evaluating their mental illness. In New York City, there are a lot of programs for people who are mentally ill, but they have to want to be there.
Yeah, and it's
about forcing them to be there.
When you are mentally ill, you have a hard time knowing that you are mentally ill. But also, people like Charlie Kirk, they've been looking for opportunities to make this some sort of like reciprocal George Floyd situation. And that's the part that I think he's almost giving away the game. And it's sad to see a lot of people going along with it.
Let me just say a couple of things. One is, what happened to that young woman was horrible. And it's everybody's nightmare. If you're in any public space, a subway, whatever, that something bad's going to happen to you or somebody you care about. So it does strike a chord. We don't know why that man did what he did. And for Charlie Kirk to say, we know he did it because she's white, when there's no evidence of that, it's just pure race mongering, hate mongering.
We can pull this down. We have no idea, even though there's video of audio of him saying, I got that white girl.
Yeah.
And literally,
coming from the biggest race pimps out there, right?
Like, oh, totally. Vance Jones. Yeah, yeah. Who did, was it? Bezos gave him $100 million to basically sit in this purple suit and pretend nothing's happening out there. You're not seeing what you're seeing. And we bring it up.
America.
Go ahead.
Right, Rob. America's an empire, right? Whether we like it or not, that's where we're at. It wasn't intended to be that, but of course, after the CFR and the transition into a farming out our industry type of operation back in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, America transitioned into a global empire that Brzezinski and Kissinger helped to design. And the problem is that when you get a giant empire, there are certain weaknesses and ways to fracture and to destroy an empire. And this is exactly what happened to Byzantium, which was the longest, most successful Western empire, and had the longest, most successful currency, the Byzant. What happened was Byzantium, believe it or not, they began to clip their money, which is called gold clipping, is when you debase your currency and you add base metals. So they started to devalue their currency. They began to adopt practices of usury. They began to adopt syncretistic religious practices. And believe it or not, they also began to have uprisings of ethnic conflicts. Now, how far that uprising was by design, it's unclear, but it probably had some machinations behind it. Greek nationalism, for example, became very powerful at that time and very vibrant, and that helped to disintegrate the Byzantine Empire structure. Now, whether you think empire is good or bad, or whether you're, I'm not against nationalism when I say that. I'm just pointing out that you can manipulate ethnos, the ethnic groups, within a big, you know, sizable geopolitical power structure and bring about the dissolution of that power structure through ethnic conflict. It's one of the oldest classic ways to do that. And that's exactly what's happening by design. And in fact, I've been covering this book by a Romanian author, Ioan Ratiu, for the last year. It's a gigantic 600-page book that's kind of an appendix to Tragedy and Hope. He talks about how the Fabian Socialists 100 years ago in the UK said they would import massive amounts of third world people, including largely Islam in the US, in the UK and in the EU. And that would be the easiest way to cause the demographic conflict to destroy the existing people groups. And they're doing the same thing in the US.
And that's a great transition. You look at what's going on in the UK now. We couldn't even be talking about what just happened. If we were to talk about that online or over the web, we'd be getting arrested.
Yeah.
And you can see, I guess Banksy put up a piece of art. And it's just an art of a judge with a gavel smashing a protester with no sign. That was interesting. He left the sign blank so people could put their own interpretation of it right there. And what happened? Oh, we got to cover that up. We can't have that. And so Banksy could have his identity revealed as police treat latest artwork as a criminal damage. You see that? You know, but if it was a migrant putting up graffiti, it'd probably be no big deal. This is what they do. But, oh, no, we can't have this type of political art. And Banksy's a leftist. You can see now they have it covered up. They got to cover these things up because we can't have people talking about what's going on. We can't have that. And you look at the UK, their empire. They were masters of manipulating and managing large groups of people who weren't as advanced as them. You look at
right.
What they did, you know, in South Africa, what they did all over Africa, what they did, basically the European Empire wrote the book on how to control large populations and how to manage them. And so, you know, the United States is, there's some offshoots of that still here in the United States, which are like, oh yeah, we need to bring in more people. We need to have, because we're not having the birth rate, because we've trained people not to want to have families. We've basically trained the people that live here not to reproduce. So now we're going to import people, but we're not going to like have any sort of standards. It's just like, oh, here's the gates. We're going to open the gates and see who comes in.
Yeah, the establishment has pushed depopulation, particularly in the West, for the last several decades by design, by all the top think tanks, foundations, et cetera, Rockefeller Foundation especially. And then as the population decreases, as we get mass sort of sterility through sexual confusion by design, then the establishment comes in and says, well, you didn't have enough people, so we're going to have to import these people to do the work, all by design, because the same establishment was behind the exporting of the industries overseas, mm-hmm. through Royal Society planning, foundation planning. And now the same elites are saying, well, we're going to have to bring these people in to do the sort of low training wage jobs or whatever. But all of that's by design. It's not even about jobs in the economy. Ultimately, it's actually about a long-term demographic replacement. And I have Count Kudinov Kalergi's book, Practical Idealism, where he actually says 100 plus years ago that the whole goal of all this is to replace European peoples by design so that they can have a future world federal socialist structure. And that's exactly what the Milner Fabian Rothschild societies, or the Milner Fabian Society was aided and funded by Lord Rothschild. And that's what the purpose was, to export a kind of socialism everywhere to control people.
Yeah. And to create a mix of people that don't have an identity. There's no identity.
No cohesion.
Right. Exactly. So you have, you know, but you notice you have Africans and Middle Easterners coming up. They want to keep their identity. I had a clip. I didn't play it, but it was a Muslim. He's a black Muslim. So probably, Nation of Islam, but he goes into a store and he sees his Middle Eastern brothers and says, hey, you guys are selling alcohol. You're selling tobacco. You got to stop doing this. We're going to start coming to protest you. You know, we know it's allowed. It's legal, but we don't like it. Okay. So they're basically impressing what they want, what they believe on other people. And this is happening all over. You could go to Dearborn, Michigan, and you could see what's being impressed on the people there. I mean, it is. I was there 10 years ago.
It's by design, and it's total hypocrisy, because the people in the West have been brainwashed through the public controlled education system that everything that happens is fair and just as revenge because of colonialism. So wait a minute. Colonialism of the Western European nations is supposedly bad, but you need to be colonized by Muslims and others because colonialism is bad. So because it's bad, you're going to be colonized.
Well, it only works one way. It only works reverse colonialism only works in the modern age, because they don't want to see these groups, and they can see they're protesting now. The Islamists are protesting their own people because they don't want alcohol, gambling tickets. And, you know, there's something to be said for that type of lifestyle. Parts of their lifestyle, actually, the Nation of Islam, I'm like, well, you know, you have a clean house and there's nothing wrong with that. And I find a lot of things about the Nation of Islam to be very interesting in terms of how they conduct themselves. Now, do they want to have their own separate society? Yeah, they do. So that's where it starts to become, well, do we let people have their own separate societies in the United States? Or do we all go, no, we all got to have the same laws. We can't have you having Sharia law and you not having Sharia law. That's not how it works. So that's going to be, I think, the next fight in the next 10 years, because we've
absolutely
let a lot of Islamists come in here. Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. I gave that talk at D.C. 3 days ago, and that was the subject of my talk, in part, was future conflict in America will continue to be Islam because of this importation of more and more Muslims. We took a trip to Vegas for me to speak at an event last year, and saw something I've never seen, as I've traveled across the country for the last 10 years many times, usually driving, mosques everywhere. Mm-hmm. Even mosques on Indian reservations.
Churches that have been turned into mosques. That's what I've seen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And why is that? Well, it turns out if you read Max Blumenthal's book, and I don't agree with everything Max Blumenthal says, but he has a very good critique of the establishment supporting radical Islam and its importation. And we recently lectured through this book on my channel. He talks about, in the last couple of decades, Saudis have put billions of dollars into expanding mosques in America and Islamic education, and it's not compatible. You have to understand that when you really study Islam, as I did in the last 7 or 8 years debating all the top Muslims, they believe in child brides. They believe in slavery. It is not a theology or a religion that is compatible with the West. And people are oftentimes duped by the externals of, well, they don't have drunkenness and they don't have, yeah, but they have child brides. And I mean, it's like, it's worse. It's better to have drunkenness than child brides. Okay. It's not compatible.
Well, I mean, let's face it. We're good at being drunks as Europeans.
Yeah.
I had to quit drinking.
I was good at it. Yeah. I was skilled at it as well, so I had to quit.
Yeah, we all have our points where we have to quit. But you go back in time, you know, that was how we got our nourishment, literally, you know, was through, you know, the fermentation of bread and wheat to make beers, because that's how you got your sustenance. And that's racist, Rob, because if
other people groups' genetics, they're not compatible with alcohol.
Right.
That's actually not even true. It's just your racism coming out.
Unfortunately, that is. I know we were going to get you on about a host of subjects, and we kind of devolved into what's going on. But I do want to share this. When I was in, this is like 2010. We were documenting the decay of Detroit, because here was a once mighty city of innovation and manufacturing and music. I mean, Detroit was a badass place. They had their own island with a zoo. You know, it was cool. And then you look at what it's now, these husks of buildings, but then you go to one part of Dearborn, Michigan, and in the department stores, it wasn't mannequins wearing dresses. It was mannequins wearing hijabs. And this was in 2010. And now you look at it, and they go out, and they're, you know, I think the first mayor of Dearborn, they just elected a mayor in Dearborn who is a Muslim. So now they are the majority, and we're going to see what happens. That's going to be the test case to see where this goes. And you can see them moving to Texas. They're setting up, you know, giant enclaves outside of Houston. And it's not about whether these people are bad or not. It's about they have to follow the laws here. They can't come and go, now you have to follow our laws because you didn't build this society. You're coming here. Right?
Yeah, it's a different worldview with a different idea of ethics. And the problem is that people in America, people in the progressive post-Enlightenment West, have this assumption that the rest of the world will share their same ideas of fairness, equality, etc. These are groups that believe in a dual ethic, that there's an in-group ethic that doesn't apply to the out-group ethic. The out-group ethic is one that allows for lying, deceiving, cheating, etc. In some cases with Islam, even murder.
Yep.
If you get down the road when they have the majority in the society. In fact, the Quran even says, be friendly until you're the majority in the society and then suppress them. So again, it's an Arab enslavement pagan religion. And I know that because I've debated all the top Muslims. In fact, anybody who's interested in Islam can go watch the multi-millions view debate that we had last year on Fresh and Fit on YouTube. Just type in Islam Christian debate on YouTube and look up the Fresh and Fit debate with me and Sam Shamoon versus Daniel Hakikachu and Ajaz with Myron as the moderator. And I think you'll see what type of a religion this is.
And we have to have these debates. We have to have it because the next step is people fighting and killing each other. That's where it's going to go. So you have to have the debates and at least get the ideas out there before it gets to that. Jay Dyer, where can people find your work? I've got Joe Biggs coming up next hour. I'm letting him take over. We're working on some big things here, in the Central Texas Command Center. So I'm just going to leave it at that, but you got about 15 seconds. Tell people where they can find your work.
Yeah, and go to jaysanalysis.com. That's my website. Start Hollywood 3, my third Hollywood book will be coming out soon. You can get signed copies there in the shop. And you can follow me on YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter under my name. Thank you for having me, Rob.
All right. Thanks for coming on. Joe Biggs up next.
Oh, here it is. Bovine Colostrum Plus. This is what I was looking for. This is the only thing that works on a monstrous stomach like mine. If it works for me, it will work for you. Order yours at the website below.
Secret shoreline mission to handpick nature's vitamin-packed sea moss before the globalists patent it. He's scooping it up like it's Cyber Monday in the supplement aisle. But suddenly, a 20-foot-tall sea moss mutant erupts from the tide pool like Godzilla. Alex dashes like he just saw a new Fauci vaccine. Will he make it or become the monster's meal? To be continued.
Told him I want all angry, aggressive music today, bumper music, because that's where I'm at. I'm done being nice. Before we go to Joe Biggs, and I got this video I want him to play for him and have him comment on it, because he, former military, served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Don't forget, at thealexjonesstore.com, that's how you support everything we do. We have the $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. Every order over $75 gets a $10 credit, and we're trying to encourage people to get subscriptions to all of our top supplements. 50% off Ultramethylene Blue if you subscribe, Bovine Colostrum, Shilajit Complex, and Ultimate Sea Moss. Now, if you guys go there and buy now, I don't have to keep plugging. And we don't have to get Joe to keep plugging. So if you want the information to keep flowing, go to thealexjonesstore.com and subscribe to these supplements because you need them. And I didn't get to ask Jay if he's tried the Methylene Blue, but I'll get into that with Joe in a second. But Joe, thanks for coming on. You're going to do the next 2 hours because I got a lot of other work to do. There's a lot going on here today. I barely made it on air, but I'm pissed off. Here's a guy explaining, a former, I think he's in a former Army. He's explaining why, what their oath is, what they take an oath, and why it's okay for Trump to be sending National Guard to some of these crime-ridden areas, because we do have a war going on, and it's a war of normalcy and a war against I don't know what the hell you call this of what's going on, but it's unbridled crime. But here's that clip.
For every loudmouth leftist telling our troops to remember their oath, stop pretending you know what you're talking about. Here's what the oath actually says. I do solemnly swear that I support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It goes on to say that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States, and I will obey the orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. That's it. That's the mission. Not to obey the governor, not to side with the mob, and not to do whatever the mayor says. It's about protecting the Constitution and this country, even when weak leadership refuses to do so. So when the President of the United States sends the National Guard to go shut down the chaos in LA, and you start crying about tyranny and martial law, guess what? The military's job isn't to make you comfortable. It's to protect this country when local officials fail. Looting, fires, assault, destruction. That's not protest. That's lawlessness. And if you think defending that makes you some kind of hero, you're the one who forgot what this country stands for, not them. Our troops are not violating the oath. They're upholding it. Because unlike you, they actually took it. Stop using the oath like a political weapon when you have no idea what it means. Our service members are out there doing what needs to be done. You don't have to like it, but you will respect it.
Joe, you took that oath. What do you say to that video?
He's 100% correct. I mean, it's not our job to coddle people. The oath that we take is to the Constitution and to follow the orders of the President of the United States and the officers appointed over us. That's how it's always been. There's nothing new there. It's just that, you know how it is, the left, you know, they like to change the meanings and definitions of things. They like to dilute and water down the truth. And then they use their legacy media to propagandize the masses with lies. And that's what they've done over such a long period of time. Most people don't even know what this country even is. They don't even understand what the Bill of Rights are, the Constitution. They just believe whatever Anderson Cooper and these other jokers have been saying over the last few years. So Trump has every bit of authority and right to go in and clean these places up. And if it's working, and like I've seen what's the guy that used to work at CNN, the black guy? I saw him going around D.C. and asking people what they thought about the National Guard being there.
Yeah,
Don Lemon. And they were all excited and stoked to know that it's safer because, you know, the crime that's happening is not just affecting white people. It's affecting black people. Carjackings in D.C. are probably some of the highest in the nation. And when I was in jail in D.C., guess what most young black men were there for? Carjacking, violent carjacking old women and assaulting them. It's imperative that these places clean their cities up. And if they don't have what it takes to do it, the President Trump goes in there and does it. It's not martial law. We're not trying to scare people. We're just trying to get, you know, that place safe, because when the citizens start to feel safe, they'll start to understand that the leadership they've had this entire time has been a lie, and they're going to enact some change and vote those kind of people out.
Joe Biggs is taking over for the next 2 hours. You're watching The War Room. Here it is.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
At Infowars.com, I'm your host for the next 2 hours, Joe Biggs. And my next guest is going to be Leonarda Joni. She is a comedian and, quite frankly, a very smart lady. She's gone to a very well-known school. I'll let her break some of this stuff down. But she uses this intelligence that she has and turns it into comedy to kind of break down a lot of the cultural changes and shifts we've seen in the country. So as we're waiting on her to come on, some of the topics we're going to talk about today are going to be about the military or government being sent into Chicago. We're going to talk about a lot of the action that Israel has taken over the last few days and 24 hours, the multiple attacks, bombings that they've had. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. So I hope you guys are excited. It's good to be back. And I think we're going to have a good show. One of the things I really do want to talk about, though, is something I know that we've been talking about a lot today, but is Irina, the Ukrainian woman that was murdered. You know, this kind of goes to a deeper thing. The fact that we didn't see in that video men jump up to run up there and help. Men in American Day have been cuffed. They have weakened. And instead of standing up and jumping up to rescue this woman, to render first aid, it took a long time. We watched that first times today, and we saw her sit there and bleed out. Men years ago would have jumped up, attacked that man, threw him to the ground, beat his ass, and helped stop the bleeding. You don't have to be an expert. Most people know, apply pressure, and you could have stopped the bleeding. You don't have to be an EMT. You don't have to be a doctor or trauma surgeon or anything like that. But just to jump up there and collectively on that train, go out there and subdue that individual and beat his ass and then help that poor lady out. It goes to so much other stuff that we see. I mean, it reminds me of the baseball game over the weekend where the dyke lady, she runs up, she doesn't get the baseball that she wants. So she runs after the gentleman who grabs it and hands the ball to his son. Well, what happens? The lady runs up hysterical running. And what's the man's reaction? To shriek back in fear. And that's what we're seeing and our men in America. And it's just, it's out of control. It's sad. We shouldn't be seeing that kind of stuff. Men need to learn how to toughen up. You need to go get your testosterone levels checked. So here we are. We have Leonarda Joni. She's ready. And let's go ahead and jump into this real quick. Welcome to the show, Leonarda.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Joey. I've been watching that video and the clips from that, and I can't tell you, I'm like, it's between rage and tremendous grief that I'm experiencing watching that. Like, you know, I want to fucking rip that animal apart, but then also every single fucking judge, politician, police officer, every race baiter who has been telling us how awful white people are every day, all we hear about is how scared black people are of white people. the racism that torments them. And what we see is a population that is actually on the hunt for white people. And they didn't show you the full video because they don't want you to see what the truth is. And what he said afterward was, I got that white bitch. But you tell me that's not a race crime.
Yeah, I mean, and they're charging it as an act of crime on public transportation, not a hate crime. I mean, that's exactly what that is.
No, that's
this was a racially motivated crime.
That is a hate crime.
Yeah, this was a racially motivated crime. I have an 8-year-old daughter, you know, and when I saw this video when it first came out, yeah, it choked me up. I had to get up and, like, when Alex was talking about earlier and walk around, I went and talked to my mom. I went and gave my daughter a hug. It physically upset me to see that this kind of thing happened. But just the weakness of the men, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how weak men in America have been and what is it that we can do, in your opinion, as a woman, to get back to being alpha men again?
Let me say a few things on this. First of all, this is a race crime. This is an absolute race crime. Every fucking thing they told you about how white people persecute black people has been total bullshit. It's been bullshit from the beginning. This didn't start now, okay? It wasn't like our ancestors were just hateful people who wanted to persecute black people. They were trying to keep separate two cultures that clearly can't fucking mix. I'm very heated right now, so my New York is coming out. Number one. Number two, if you looked on that train, on the car that this woman was at, there were several other people who were all non-white. Not a single one of them tried to help her after she had clearly been stabbed. Forget about stopping the man. Fine, you don't want to get stabbed. How come not a single one of you try to help this woman? I will say at the end of the video, you do see what I think is a black man, also mixed race black man, and a white woman run over and try to help her. And the black man does take his shirt off and try to tie it around her. It's too late at this point, okay? To talk about men without talking about what has been done to men, this is intentional. You need to understand that none of this, look, there you go. You see, not a single one of these four, they get up. They don't even try to help this poor woman who's bleeding to death. What did she do? That could have been you. So the reason this is, the men are where they are at is because they have been handicapped. Look at what happened to Daniel Penny. Daniel Penny, strong, masculine male, took a stand. They tried to destroy his life. They knew they weren't going to win. That wasn't the point of the Daniel Penny case. The point of the Daniel Penny case was for every white man watching to know that if you take a stand for what is right, good luck. Okay, maybe we don't get Daniel Penny, but we might get you. That was the message. And you see this constantly because there was a white man who was recently arrested and sentenced to a very long period in jail. I don't remember what for, because he shot three teenagers, I believe, who were stealing his car, and they tell you, oh, he chased after them. What they don't tell you was this was the third time those exact people had targeted him to steal his car, and that he had called the police the first two times, and he had filed reports, and they did nothing. He said, sorry, there's nothing we can do. Just like with this guy who was released after 14 prior arrests, they have a black mayor. They had a black judge who didn't even pass the bar exam. And she's a judge. And then she also ran simultaneously some kind of bullshit clinic about like how to help you recover from whatever trauma you have. So she kept letting these offenders off and then trying to siphon them into her business. You cannot look at this and not deal with the racial aspects of it. It is proven that when you have black jurors on a case with a black defendant, they are way unlikely to prosecute the guy. You have to have an overwhelming of evidence before they will side to put him in jail. Okay? This is not the case with white jurors on a case with a white defendant. In fact, white jurors are more likely to sentence a white man to jail. So this jury of my peers, it doesn't exist. This idea of racial blindness, only white people have it. And men.
Yeah, one point in time.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, at one point in time, you see a guy walk up, and instead of helping, he pulls his camera out as she is laying there bleeding out and takes a picture, and he kind of smiles, puts the phone back in his
hand. That's right.
And turns around and white
man. I'm going to keep driving that home, since every single time there's any situation in which a black man gets killed by the police after he tries to stab them, they drill it into our brains. He was black. Okay, cool. Here you go. Here's a black man recording a white woman dying, bleeding out. No, where's your emotion? You have no empathy. You have no compassion. So why are we the only ones who have to have it? This is disgusting. We're being hunted down. This is intentional. They have incapacitated our men from being able to defend us. When they do defend us, they get persecuted by the full extent of the law. That same law frees the criminals, tells them 14 times out back on the streets. And it's not an accident. This is not like, oh, I don't know why this happened. This is intentional. They are releasing these criminals because they want them to hunt you down and kill you. And all the stupid white liberals who are sitting in your nice, fancy gated communities that you think this can't happen to you, you're a retard, okay? Your skin color is now your uniform. So you can walk around with your Black Lives Matter sign and talking about how you're progressive. It doesn't matter, okay? And your betrayal of your own people so that you could hoist up nice points to the society and say, look, I'm one of the good ones. You're a piece of shit. You're an absolute piece of shit. And if you think this isn't coming for you, you're out of your mind. Look at what happened to Rhodesia. Look at what happened to South Africa. Look at what happened to any country in which white people had been the ruling majority and it was overturned. Go see how those white people are living now. That's what's coming to America. In fact, it's already here.
Yeah, when I was in prison, I was there for a nonviolent crime, and I couldn't even get let out on bail. I couldn't even get out of prison. They did everything they could to keep me there pre-trial, and then they wanted 36 years. But in my time there, I saw violent black men who were there for very heinous, violent crimes get released. 5 months later, I would see them come right back in. Get released, and I would see them a year later come right back in. It happens over and over and over again. And meanwhile, the ones who are there for nonviolent crimes, such as minor drug possession and things like that, they can't get home for anything. They're there for 30 plus years, but you've got men that are raping women at alarming rates, and they are released over and over and over again. And why? Because we see this. We see now that we have these magistrate judges. They don't even have to have any type of law background whatsoever. They can just get the job, and then somehow they're supposed to be the arbiters of justice. They're supposed to somehow oversee what these, lawyers and things are debating the case. And it's sickening. And this is all stuff that's been going on. This is stuff that George Soros has been working on with his Open Source Foundation. It's disgusting.
The purpose of a system is what it does, Joey. So that this system that is punishing law-abiding citizens and rewarding criminals, that is the purpose. We are living under Bolshevik control. I don't care. Everybody wants to be like, oh, the communists are over. You're out of your mind, okay? After Stalin turned on a certain group of Bolsheviks, a certain tribe, they all left and came to America where they started their same bullshit. That's actually what the Red Scare was about when you had Senator McCarthy going after communists that he saw in Hollywood. It was specifically because they had come over and they were starting their bullshit again. Now they've been running their bullshit for something like 70 to 80 years, and these are the results of it. In Russia, during the Bolshevik reign, they rewarded criminals. They released criminals. It was illegal for a law-abiding citizen to have a knife, but it was perfectly okay for a criminal to have one. Why? They want you weak and they want you defenseless. Go look at what's going on in the UK. All of those Muslim migrants, they have weapons in their mosques. They have rifles in their mosques. The British citizens aren't even allowed to have a bladed knife. But that doesn't stop the Muslims from stabbing them with bladed knives. So people need to realize what's going on. Your government is run by people who hate you and they want you dead. They're arming the criminals. They are releasing them. These activist judges who oftentimes are not white, okay, are specifically doing this, or they're retarded liberal women, and women should not be in positions of power, okay? I don't care. Call me a misogynist. You're an idiot. Women are too emotional to make these decisions. We identify with everybody like they're a baby, and we feel bad about holding them accountable. You need strong men in charge who understand that if you are merciful to a criminal, you are being cruel to the victim.
Yeah, right now there is one of the wiki editors has actually put, marked the story about Arena, for deletion. They're trying to erase
it. Of course.
The story of Daniel Penny was covered 100 times by the New York Times, but not once by the New York Times for her. It's ridiculous, the bias.
And how many times do they cover these cases where they want to say there was an innocent black man who was hunted down by the police? Over and over again, they run those in the articles. Even the story of Daniel Penny, they didn't even run it as much because they don't want to, they don't know which way it's going to go, right? They're hoping to make people afraid to stand up, but they're aware that the risk might be that it actually gives courage to some people. But all these stories they ran about, oh, he hands up, don't shoot. And they all turned out to be bullshit, right? Now we see it with all the body cams. Right. Where we see all of these black people literally going to attack an officer who has a gun at them with a knife. Like, what kind of moron do you have to be? Can you imagine where we would be if we didn't have these body cams? We'd be burning down streets again.
Yeah, I was there for the whole Michael Brown hands up, don't shoot thing. I was in Ferguson for a long time. That was one of the first things I actually covered when I was working here at InfoWars years ago. And actually the guy that was with Michael Brown, I think he just got shot and killed yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. He was the same he's the same one that went in the gas station when they robbed the store. And then when they were later approached by Officer Darren Wilson, and he's the one that perpetrated the entire lie that there was the hands up, don't shoot. Yeah. This guy was just gunned down himself. So, you know,
In like some kind of gang related violence, had nothing to do with the police. Karma comes for everyone, but I don't understand why innocent white people like this young girl have to pay the price for that. This is, you have to see the terror on this girl's face after she stabbed. She doesn't actually understand what happened just yet. He just went after somebody like a lamb. No threat to anyone. That's why he attacked them, because these people are cowards. They go after someone they see as an easy target. They're real pieces of shit. They have no business being in our society. What they deserve to be is to be dropped off somewhere in the middle of the fucking Amazon jungle where you can take your violence with those animals and let's see if you make it, you piece of shit. Not in our society where we've built everything for them.
You know, another issue, though, too, that we have to look at. We have to look at the fact that people need to start walking outdoors now when they leave their houses, and they need to have a different mindset. They need to understand that they are targets. They do have a target on their back. Strong men at home, husband, they need to talk to their wives. They need to talk, you know, the guys with girlfriends. You need to talk to your girlfriends. You need to teach your daughters how to maintain situational awareness. You need to learn different techniques. You need to learn that if you're going to be traveling alone, the different tricks and techniques that you can use to keep yourself safe in a hotel room or when you're on a train. You know, this girl, like you said, she was an innocent lamb. She came from another country. She was fleeing a war-torn area, trying to come to America for a better life to seek out safety. And she just didn't understand that America isn't what it seems like it is in Hollywood, that it's not
that you
so
don't sit down,
you know, glitzy and glamorous.
You don't sit down in front of a black man who's got a hood up, and you have to be able to recognize these nefarious characters. But what Hollywood has done is they've taken these people and they've put them in roles. They've inverted everything. Every movie is about the racist white Nazi who's targeting innocent black guys. And they show these black guys who would be a threatening character. And then in the movie, they turn out to have such a heart of gold and don't judge a book by its cover. Fuck that shit. You judge a book by its cover. Don't sit next to a black person. You don't know them. Don't sit there. Don't sit next. You know what? I would just tell women, I know it's illegal. Carry a fucking gun. Carry a knife. Carry a gun. Carry a mace. Carry whatever you want. They made it illegal because they want you to be a lamb to slaughter. Deal with the judge afterward. Okay? Because this is unbelievable. And women need to learn how to shut the fuck up when their man is talking. Cause a lot of women, they're like, you don't know. We're not all of them like that. Shut up, bitch. Nobody loves you more than the man that's in your life who's trying to protect you. So listen, don't make things hard for him by putting yourself in a situation where you're in danger. Don't make things hard for him by opening and running your mouth in public where now he's got a fight. Don't make things hard for him when he is handling business to get in between him and the perpetrator. I've seen so many of these situations where a man has to defend his woman and he's got to get into a physical altercation with someone. And then the woman starts trying to pull him back. Leave him up. Shut up and get out of the way and let your man handle business.
And then he gets killed. And then he gets killed.
So shut up. Okay? We're not equal. All this feminist bullshit that you've swallowed whole like a moron, just go watch all these videos of female cops and see how useless they are. Women don't belong as police officers. Women don't belong in the army. Women do not belong as firefighters. Women do not belong as politicians. They do not belong as judges. They belong at home, raising their kids, keeping them out of the public school system that's trying to make every kid gay, trans, and fat. You do not need to be interfering with strong men who can be running your country, because now we have an epidemic of weak men and men who have been so broken by the system that they know that even if they speak up, there's a lot of men who want to be strong men that want to lead, but they know that if they do that, their woman will cry about it being abusive and then go to the judge, which supports them, and the man's going to lose his house. He's going to lose his money. He's going to lose his kids. So we have a whole system that is designed to break men because men are the last frontier against the wild world that wants to destroy civilization.
Yeah, I want to recommend books. There's an author, Clint Emerson. He is a former Navy SEAL and spy. He wrote a book called Escape the Wolf, and it's called Risk Mitigation. And it actually gives you all these tips as a woman, someone who is traveling by themselves, someone who's on the subway, in hotels, in different countries. Where to seat yourself, where to keep your back in a crowd, how to maintain situational awareness, how to set up different little traps and things like that in your hotel room. So if you do leave, you know someone, if someone's been in there or not, or if you're sleeping and someone can shivvy the door open, that you have different little things set up that can help wake you up and have you ready. People need to wake up, like I said, and they need to start training every day like their life depends on it. Because if you're not living that kind of lifestyle, you're going to be a victim.
Right. And so, and you know what? You know what, ladies? A lot of you morons voted for this. A lot of you idiots voted for let the refugees and be kind to the criminals and defund the police and cash bail, no cash bail. So now the consequences are that you have to live like you're in a war zone and like you're going to be attacked at any second because you didn't realize that all those protocols were in place to protect your stupid ass. Okay? So now you have to think, look over your shoulder. Now, I grew up in the Bronx in New York City, so I was aware there was constant danger around me. Okay? But even I've grown a little soft because things were good for a little while. This video made me realize, like, nope, you can't ever put your guard down. You need to be aware what's around you, you know, who's around you, what are you going to do if you get attacked. You can't be like, oh, everything's fine and safe because the police are here. By the time the police arrive, you're dead.
Yeah. Whenever you get on a train, stand up, walk on, look around, get an idea of who's there. Don't just sit down in front of the first black guy you see with a hood up. Don't sit down in front of anyone who looks shady. Walk around for a second. If you have to, stand up, your back to the door. That way you can make a quick exit. Put yourself in a situation where you can fight back and where you can maintain situational awareness. We're about to go to a break. I want to thank you for coming on. If you want to stay on for a little bit longer, you're more than welcome to after this break, and we can talk for a little bit longer. I know you don't want to stay on too long, but that's fine. I'll leave that up to you. But thanks for watching InfoWars, and we'll see you guys here right after this break.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle. You gave me, it's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshore.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle. And so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I got to get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimate Methylene Blue, thealexjonesshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it if you're on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShore.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psychotic. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I ain't going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
And welcome back to the War Room here at InfoWars.com. I am your host for the next hour and a half, I guess, here. Look, the story that happened over the weekend about Irina, it's got people heated. And, you know, when people are heated, you know, we say things and we cuss and we kind of get out of control. And I apologize for, some of the language sometimes, but if there was ever a time for something like that to be kind of okay, it's when an innocent girl like this is just brutally murdered and the media refuses to cover it. I understand people's outrage and anger. I am, like I said, when I first saw this video earlier, when Alex aired it, it made me sick in my stomach and I had to get up and walk away. As a father, as a human being, as a man in this country, to see the lack of you know, what happened to men? What happened to American men? You know, like Leonardo said, yeah, some people don't want to jump up because they're afraid that they would get hurt. You know, but when I was younger, men didn't care about that. You know, real men, we run towards danger. We run to the situation. We go out there and we try to subdue this individual, disarm them, and put them down until law enforcement arrives so this guy can get thrown in jail. And like you said, you know, people are scared now after what they saw, what happened with Daniel Penny, and him looking at the possible prison sentence that he could have gotten. It scares people. You know, this country has really feminized men. The Me Too movement has men scared now. I mean, people are afraid to date a lot of times. We're seeing, you know, birth rates going down. And we've got to stop that. We've got to stop letting this society tell us to not be men. You know, you need to get in the gym. You need to train. You need to wake up every day and have this mindset that when you go outside, you could be a target. But what you want to do is make yourself look dangerous. You don't want to look like you're weak. You want to go take that step outside when you get in your car or truck and you drive out there. You want people to go, that's a hard target. And if you're not a hard target, you need to look at yourself. You need to look at your wife, your daughters, your sons, and you need to see how they act when they are out. Are they looking around? Are they maintaining their situational awareness? And that's why I said it's important to look at people who are experts in this kind of stuff. You know, I am kind of an expert in this stuff, obviously, being former military and things like that. I've studied with a knowledgeable. But the reason I bring up Clint Emerson is because he is someone that's in the Spy Hall of Fame, one of the only Navy SEALs that is. And he's written books about this stuff, Escape the Wolf, 100 Deadly Skills, these kind of things. These are small books with very good, informative things in there that can help keep you alive. And just take the time to do it. Take the time to get on YouTube and watch some of these experts in self-defense that can show you, you know, how to stay alive when you go outside every day. You need to learn to train how you're going to have to fight in the real world. You know, you see people, they go out and they train and they're wearing tight little pants and they're wearing tight little shirts. No, you need to be able to train in what you wear every day. If you're not practicing with your sidearm as if you're carrying it when you sit in your vehicle with the seatbelt on, you have to learn to be able to grab your gun with the seatbelt on. If you're not training like that, you're setting yourself up for failure. You know, you need to be able to think about these types of things. And it's very worth to sign up for a lot of these courses that people have. There's former contractors, SEALs, Delta guys, SF guys that teach these types of courses, not just for men, but for the women in your family, for your children. So I would highly recommend that stuff. You know, virtue signaling only works so far. You know, saying Black Lives Matter is only going to get you so far until a guy with a hood sitting behind you on a bus or a train on the neck. You know, I used to live in Charlotte. I was actually born in Charlotte. I know Mecklenburg County. It is a very ghetto place in certain areas, and there is quite a bit of crime there. So you've got to watch your back. You've got to have situational awareness at all times. And it's, man, to see this happen when it's such an easy thing to prevent. You know, this man should have never been let out. We have these activist judges all over the country. You got, Chesa Boudin, that was a DA over there in San Francisco, I believe. These people have destroyed this country. And what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So think about this. A man like, what is his name? DeCarlos Brown Jr., who committed this heinous murder. This guy's not going to survive long. I tell you that. When he gets to prison this time after this, I guarantee you, you're going to see guys, they are going to torment him. They're going to do things that is very unkind, if you know what I mean. Things that are, we'll just put it this way, mellow mill rape. And then probably death at some point in time. And it won't just come from, it won't just be a white member who does it. It's probably going to be a member of his own race that will attack him and come after him and beat him to death in the shower. You know, that's just the fact of the matter. And, it's sickening. It's sickening to see that this kind of stuff is happening. But thank God we do some semblance of normalcy coming to some of these cities. And maybe President Trump is going to have to put Charlotte on the map. But we do know that Tom Homan is sending feds to Chicago for an illegal immigration blitz. You know, we have a lot of these individuals that are coming from other countries with these backgrounds in crime. They have committed acts of murder, rape. They've been known to possess child porn or, you know, be involved in human trafficking. And ICE is offering right now, I think it's $50,000 sign-up bonus. I think they posted a tweet out about that today or yesterday as well. So they're looking for people to go out there and help round these people up. But I want to show a video that's going to kind of segue into this. You know, when we have ICE moving into all these cities, that's good. We're rounding up illegals and things like that. But we also have another part of the government right now, another entity that's moving itself in, which is Palantir. And Palantir is trying to create this database on all Americans. They want to create a database where they can get all of your information and spy on you, find out everything they can about you. They want to know if you are a threat. They actually have, Palantir has what's called a kill list. And if you ask Grok what your Palantir kill list number is, it'll give you a ranking. And I did it, and mine was 95 to 100%. And it says it's based off of the fact that I have spoken against the state of Israel. And when I speak against the state of Israel, that doesn't mean that I hate Jews. I have friends who are Jewish, but I do not like this Zionism that I see. I do not like the fact that Israel thinks that it can go around bombing everybody. Okay, there's one Hamas fighter, two Hamas fighters in a hospital. That doesn't mean we get to level the entire hospital because of that. But there's a video that I saw over the weekend of Joe Rogan and Tim Dillon, a comedian, and they're talking about Peter Thiel, and they're talking about kind of what Palantir is and also this whole thing with the Antichrist. If we can play this clip, if you guys have it ready, let me know, and let's go to it. It's really interesting, and I think you're going to, if you didn't see the show yesterday, it's very informative. Let's go and check that out really quick.
That's what bothers people about this Palantir thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
The Palantir thing is very odd.
Well, you know, Peter Thiel's giving a four-part lecture on the Antichrist. This is like me doing a four-part lecture on Long Island racism. Just to show everybody, you know, how much I know about it and how scary it is and how we got to watch out for it. But it's totally not me or anyone I know. It's so strange to have this, you build military AI, military drone, autonomous drone technology to export to war zones all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You build domestic surveillance technology to surveil our friends and neighbors. And then your other pet passion is the Antichrist. It's odd. Wouldn't you include tennis? Wouldn't you go, and I'm big into tennis. Something else. It's odd. And I like ice fishing. I build autonomous drone technology. I build domestic surveillance technology.
And I love lake trout.
And I love lake trout. And I love big mouth bass fishing.
Yeah.
But instead he goes, and I've also developed quite a keen interest in Satan. And I loved
it. See, look, I mean, there's just a lot of things that are happening right now in this country. And you got to pay attention to the stuff. We can't just watch everything that the legacy media wants us to pay attention to. You got to look at the other stuff that's happening in the background. And this Palantir thing is very scary. I don't like this ultimate surveillance. I don't like the idea of the idea that, you know, most of the people that worked with Doge actually came from Palantir. You know, that we don't know what kind of backdoors we've given, Palantir into these different agencies we have, whether it be the IRS, the DOJ and whatnot. It's frightening, you know, and I don't like that. You know, we're supposed to be a country that is free. We're supposed to be a country that is allowed to have, the ability to share ideas, to say what we want to say in an open forum without being attacked, to go to political rallies without being attacked. But instead right now we're being monitored, where our phones are monitoring us. Look at how you can't even take the batteries out of the back of the things now. They do that so you can always be monitored. And now every device that they come out with now, whether it be from Apple or Samsung, is another device that can spy on you. Almost everybody's got some kind of device in and or around them that is listening to every single thing that you say and conversation that you say. And that is building a spreadsheet on you, and it's creating a threat level on you, and it's giving Palantir this ability to create this dossier and go, all right, this guy's 100% threat to what this country is. This person has said what we consider to be anti-Semitic things. It's not anti-Semitic to tell the truth about something that Israel did. It's not anti-Semitic to say that Israel bombed Doha, Qatar. You know, and Israel's Channel 14 reported too that 10 Air Force part in the strike on Hamas offices in Doha. And imagine being Qatar and getting bombed while the plane supporting it took off from your own airbase. You know, so far over the last 24 hours or so, Israel has bombed Qatar, Gaza, Syria, Lebanon, and they're saying possibly Tunisia, which is where Greta Thunberg's flotilla was. So far, they're denying it. They're saying that it was something else, but you don't necessarily, you know how these guys are. They're very sneaky. They could have found a way to do something to where it doesn't make them look like they did it. But it's insane. Bibi Netanyahu warns Gazans to leave now, as the Israeli army will just start, you know, moving in. They'll possibly even start to destroy homes in Gaza and start clearing people out. It is a genocide, what's happening. And they're bringing in, they're paying millions of dollars for American social media influencers to take these propaganda tours to help push a narrative, to help push a war that most people in the world are quite frankly sick of. They're sick and tired of seeing hospitals being bombed. They're sick and tired of seeing, you know, that it's okay in their opinion, that genocide's okay. And it's not. It should be, you know, it should be pissing everybody off. You know, and if we don't stand up here in this country, if we don't fight for our rights, if we do not take the opportunity to really look into the people that we vote for, we're going to turn into Europe soon. And if we lose our Second Amendment rights, I guarantee you, you're going to see what's happening in Europe. You're going to start seeing people getting thrown in jail for just having the conversations we've already had on the show thus far, talking about a black man in a hood murdering a Ukrainian refugee who came here for a better life. That could get you thrown in jail. That could be considered racist. That could be considered a hate crime. The fact that, look over in Europe right now, there's an article that I sent, where is it at? Here it is. It's from the Lancashire, and it says, Great Harwood's Laura Mart gelled for exposure to children. And the original, looks like they've changed the headline. It says, a woman who exposed herself to a group of children in Lancaster Park has been jailed. Now, look, we're going to talk about this, and this is something that could, here in America, if we don't stand up for what we believe in, if we don't take our rights seriously, if we don't think that what's happening in Europe can happen to us, look, they're doing that. That's a soft run for what's going to happen here. All the stuff that we see happen over there is what's going to happen here if we don't get our heads out of our ass and we don't start doing the right thing. It says Laura Mart, 35, who is a transgender woman, appeared before Preston Sessions' house charged with one count of indecent exposure, breaching a sexual harm prevention order. The incident occurred on July 18th when the defendant of Game Street, Great Harwood, was walking in Williamson Park and Rysdale Road. A child who was playing on the monkey bars in the park saw Mart holding her penis, and wiggling it at her, and she immediately told her friends and father about this. At the time of the offense, Mart was subject to a lifelong sexual harm prevention order and was prohibited from standing within 10 meters of a public place where children are expected to be. The defendant has a history of similar offenses with 4 exposure convictions and indecency charge in 2017. So this person has done this numerous times, and they are over in Europe. They allow this kind of person to go right back out there and commit the same types of heinous crimes. You know, I don't get why why has this world just become so evil? Why do people allow this to happen? Why aren't enough people pissed off and saying anything about it? And luckily, there's a girl that goes to the University of Texas A&M who actually kind of did take a stand. They were talking about transgenderism and things like that at her school, if I can find this. Here. Where is it at? Yeah, she's a student at Texas A&M, and she's filming the professor who is talking about what it's like to have a sex change and the importance of all that stuff. And she stands up and she's recording and going, hey, I'm offended by this. The president said that we need to stop doing that stuff. I believe I sent that article over to you, and there's a video if you have it in there. You guys have that at all? You don't have that yet? Okay. Either way, I'll get it later. But it shows her. She's filming, and she's saying, I can't believe this is happening. The president said that they would cut funding to these kinds of places. I don't want to be here. I need to get up. I'm going to leave this class. And it's truly disgusting that this is the kind of stuff that our government is put. They want our men to be feminized. They want our children to be assaulted by transgenders. They want our young women to be killed by illegal aliens. And it really bothers me, and it bugs me that this stuff is continuing to happen all the time and no one is doing anything about it. No one has even taken the time to really care about any of this whatsoever. Where is that at? Oh, yeah. Well, actually, you know, until we can find that, let me do this really quick. I need to talk about this. We have the the free $10 ultimate fundraiser sale. Get free $10 credit with every order over $75 in this critical fundraiser sale for a limited time only. Now, there's a lot of places that I've gone to before that you get these subscription-based things, and they're really great because it makes it cool. You pay for something, and then it just continues to come back to you. So if you go to the Alex Jones store, there's stuff. I am kind of interested in trying the Ultra Methylene Blue, the fresh mint flavor, because the kind I've had is just the regular kind, and it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't like it. I don't put it in water, though. I usually just take the drop and put it under my tongue and allow it to kind of sit and soak in. But I know that you guys have that Ultra Methylene Blue Fresh Mint flavor. So make sure you sign up for the 50% off and never run out. It energizes and cleanses your body like never before. Okay, so you guys got that? Here, let's go to that video really quick, and we'll come back to this in a minute.
So we have all our wants, gender, and sexuality moving from that class. Well, we didn't get to our last class.
I just have a question because I'm not entirely sure this is legal to be teaching because according to our president, there's only two genders, and he said that he would be freezing agencies funding programs that promote gender ideology. And this also very much goes against not only myself, but a lot of people's religious beliefs. And so I am not going to participate in this because it's not legal, and I don't want to promote something that is against our president's laws as well as against my religious beliefs. Yes.
You are under in this conception that when I say
can you explain to me how teaching us about gender identity and transgenderism and that there's more sexes than...
My gender isn't illegal.
Huh?
My gender isn't illegal.
Gender? What do you mean? Your gender is not illegal. According to President Trump's executive order, if you want me to read the paragraph in the order itself...
If you are uncomfortable in this class, you do have the right to leave.
Yes.
What we are doing is not illegal. And if you would like to pretend that it is, you need to talk to the department head or the head of undergraduate.
Well, I've already been in contact with the president of A&M, and I actually have a meeting with him in person to show all of my documentation tomorrow. But
we're also aware of part of why they were being over.
Yes.
I'm not convinced that your proposal will be effective in stopping me from teaching things that are biologically true, because I do have the legal and ethical authority, world of the professional expertise in this classroom.
Okay. I am.
So kudos to that girl for standing up, knowing what, you know, what Trump's been saying, understanding that, that what they're trying to push, this transgender narrative in our college, is wrong. We need more kids to do that. And, you know, that goes to probably great parenting. That probably goes to, you know, a father and a mother who, you know, sat down and talked with her and kind of let her know that this is just not the way to go. This is not the path forward. You know, the reason that we have so much evil in the world is because we've left God out of everything. We push God away from everything. And what people need right now is God. That's what we need more than anything. We need people right now giving themselves to God. I get on X, and almost every day I'm seeing more and more people getting baptized. I actually had a gentleman reach out to me the other day and send me a direct message saying that he had actually spoke to me years and years ago. Asking me, you know, whether or not I would talk to his son about if he should join the army or not. And he ended up joining the army and got married. And then he was just saved over the, this past weekend, got baptized and gave his life to Christ. So amen to that. But that's what we need more of. We need people to seek God. We need more prayer. When you see people on CNN saying that prayer is not the issue, prayer doesn't do anything. I can tell you, as someone who's been in jail, looking at a very long sentence, that prayer does work, that God is real. And I'll share a story with you. I haven't really told a lot of people. When I was in Alexandria Detention Center in just outside of D.C., I'd been in solitary confinement for a little over a year now at this point. And I'd been eating the exact same thing every single day. They give you nothing but bologna. They give you nothing but old spoiled milk and horrible water that looks milky in itself. And I prayed one day. I go, God, you know what I really want right now? I just want some peaches. And I don't know why, but it was this craving I had. And I swear to you, the very next day, they actually brought peaches in, and they never had them before in that jail. And I fell face down on the ground. I was in tears. I was thanking God. I was so happy. And I knew just that small thing, that little, just that little bit of kindness and God going, I'm here. I'm listening to you. That helped me get through the rest of what I went through when I was in prison. So people, prayer works. And we've got to pray for our country. We got to pray for our spouses, our children. We've got to give ourselves to God, and we've got to let God come in and take over, because we're seeing too much evil. But we can't sit there. God helps those who help themselves. So train, take care of your body, take these different products that they have at the Alex Jones store to keep yourself healthy, so you can stay in the info war, so you can stay fighting, so you can stay ready to be prepared to fight the next war, because every day you step outside could be the last. So be ready, get yourself ready with God. And make sure that your family is ready to fight, because it's a war out there. They're not just coming for your minds. They're coming for your kids. They're coming for your soul. They're coming for our country. We'll see you.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue. So I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it. And you just gave me your brief testimony. So I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me... I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents. And so My biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, be honest, though, because you, so you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because if there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.
So here it is. Onion CEO Ben Collins, that ran the censorship bureau at MSNBC, now funded by Bloomberg, hasn't given up on print or buying InfoWars. And you ought to read the whole, 22-page article, because it is a exercise in disinformation and gobbledygook.
It became immediately clear to us that no one else was going to bid on this. The auction for these assets, like the entirety of the InfoWars thing, like including his supplements that he sells to people, were for sale. Like, we won. The judge took it away from us because he was also scared of what was going on. And
no, they had a fake auction and got caught, and the judge said it violated bankruptcy law. He didn't want to say it was criminal, but he said it, you know, he stopped short. He said it looks bad.
You made this bid. It was an incredible moment when it was announced that you were doing this. And then all of a sudden, brakes are on, right? And a judge somewhere, I have all the details, but basically said this isn't happening.
Yeah, he basically wiped away about like 18 months in court decisions, was like, I would be spooked too. You gotta remember, right? Like, you know, Dan Bongino, Cash Patel, these people were on InfoWars.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Patel never was.
Our ideological battle in our generation is not what we went through in the Civil War, you know, defending the country and abolishing the scourge of slavery. It's not our revolution where we fought for the very ideas of limited government freedom. That's not it. What we're fighting now is an ideology, a pernicious, dangerous and historically deadly ideology that says that other men and women have been imbued with some special powers to reign over your life and take your liberty and to move forward. And this is somehow a benevolent way, knighted by the Lord himself, that these men should take control of your life. This is our fight. This is our time.
Once we allow the left-leaning media, which is what most of them are, to paint conservative or liberty-based talk as inherently violent, what do you think the next step is, Alex? The next step is censorship. You can't allow this to happen. So I'm asking your listeners, whether you support Trump, Cruz, Rubio, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Joey Bag of Donuts, I don't care who you support, do not allow them to do this. Because once they do it, it's the next step towards suppression of free speech, which the left has always...
And as usual, you cut right to the heart. They're censoring in Europe. They're starting to censor here. They admit they want to censor us because they can't compete with our ideas. And you hit the nail on the head. They are wanting to say it's radical. They want to put out these law enforcement advisements. I mean, they even tried to ban in the Navy the Gadsden flag that was the first flag of the U.S. Navy. I mean, they mean business. Right.
Like, Dan Bongino, like, you got to start there. Like, these people, that was a feeder system to the administration. So, like, to be afraid of that is natural.
Now, at the end here, they say, if you could have anything you wanted, what would you do?
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but I would like to do it.
The more we survive, the more we know it's the hand of God, and the more historical it is, and the more it makes me love this place more than ever and want to fight. Because they want the symbol, and they want to misrepresent, and they want to steal not just my identity, but the idea of the InfoWar, and claim it's theirs. And they say that on national TV and in Wired Magazine and all over the place. And they got caught in a fake auction. And we sued them and got the depositions and emails where they admit, we're not going to let any company that keeps Jones on the air and InfoWars have it. So we're just going to cancel the auction and give it to these people. Well, guess what? The Justice Department's investigating them. And here they are in there. In Wired admitting they know that, and then they've got the nerve in this Wired magazine article to say the judge is scared of the Justice Department, and that's why he hasn't given us the company. The judge has nothing to worry about. And then they've got these people literally spinning it. Oh, Jones has Dan Bongino stopping the shutdown. In June of last year, the judge shut them down when they tried to close this illegally. And he fired the U.S. trustee from the Justice Department. They brought another one and the CRO saying never seen anything like it. Then in November, they had the fake auction and he shut them down then. That had nothing to do with Dan Bongino. So just know, if they somehow get us shut down the next few months, which they're trying to do constantly, there's another hearing on the 16th in front of Guerra Gamble that ran the show trials, it'll work out, folks, because if people don't get indicted for what they've done that's cut and dry, I mean cut and dry, in the depositions, in the emails, we're not going to let anybody at the auction get InfoWars. We're going to go beforehand, decide it goes to this group for almost no money.
The ancient blue wizard is who I be. The magic of Methilene flows through me. These wars of info have gone through the ages to keep your minds locked in cages. Break free from the lies and save your soul, or the demonic agenda shall reach its goal.
Upon this field, with steel in hand, I guard the truth across the land. No tyrant's crown, no foreign laws shall pierce the shield of InfoWars. This dagger's point, both sharp and true, defends the rights for me and you. So grab your phone without delay, and go to the website if you may. Order your dagger to stand in the fight, before the globalists turn out the lights.
We are back at the War Room. I'm your Joe Biggs, and we are here to share some information, to fight in the info war and kick butt, to help save America and bring liberty back to the greatest country in the world. And you know how we're going to do that? We're going to do that for the rest of the hour with one of my best friends in the entire world, Enrique Tarrio, head of the Proud Boys, former inmate and seditionist such as myself. He has been pardoned by President Trump, and we are going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about the history of the Proud Boys, the future of the Proud Boys, and the lawsuit that we are actually going through right now, the DOJ. But first, we have some breaking news. Supreme Court temporarily allows Trump to pause billions in foreign aid. It says Chief Justice John Roberts on Tuesday allowed the Trump administration to freeze billions in foreign aid payments for now, putting on a hold a lower court ruling that required officials to spend $4 billion of that money by the end of the month. So we've got that going on. I want to welcome you, Enrique Tarrio, to the show, to the War Room. For anybody out there who doesn't know who you are, give us a brief background real quick about who you are and, what's going on.
Well, as it says down here, my name's Enrique Tarrio. I am the former chairman of the Proud Boys and the best friend of Joe Biggs, that you have sitting right here on my right. I guess you say a lot of people like using like my race or my culture because I came from Cuba. I'm an American first and I've always been America first. And I think that is a danger to the left-wing party because they've used minorities as pets for so long where the new right doesn't really care what race, religion, or cultural background you're from. So I'm happy to be here with you, Joe. It's an honor, actually. You know, just a couple months ago, we were sitting in a prison cell, and now we are pretty much on one of the best shows that you can find right here on InfoWars, the War Room.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Think about this. We used to do this show years ago when I was on InfoWars. It's been a while. It's been a long time coming. And I never, all those years of sitting locked up, that I would ever get out. But then, like I was talking about in this last segment, you know, sometimes you got to give yourself to God. You got to pray. And God Amen. Is good. God is great. And he got us through it. God got us through some unspeakable stuff. And I feel like we both learned a lot from this. We've grown a lot as men from it. It's made us more cautious, but also stronger. So let's talk about this journey. Let's talk about who the Proud Boys are, and where they're going. And then we'll go into our lawsuit as well, because you're kind of more on the up and up in that part.
Well, to talk about the Proud Boys, the future of the Proud Boys, you got to go to the past of the Proud Boys, like what, where we came from. So it begins in 2016 as a joke, you know, as a men's club. Men's club weren't cool anymore. So Gavin decided as a joke on his show to start this group called the Proud Boys, named after an Aladdin musical. And he didn't really, it wasn't really meant to take wing, right? It wasn't supposed to fly as high as it's flown, for the past almost 10 years now. And we started these chapters across the country. You know, this was pre-election. A lot of people don't know this either. We predate the election of 2016. And then coming into the election, there was a lot of violence towards Trump supporters, and Proud Boys aren't like a security team. You know, it's a group of men, and what men do is be protective. And that's what we've always been. We've been very protective. So moving into 2017, 2018, we were considered a threat. And the reason why we were considered a threat is because we promoted Western values and masculinity. And when you talk about like the same Democratic platform, which I don't understand, because they keep leaning into that platform, even today, they know it doesn't work and they keep leaning into it like it's a winning strategy. It's a losing strategy. So we were considered a threat because we opposed like drag queen story hour. We opposed this, if you're gay, you're gay. Nobody cares, but you're trying to shove it down our throats and you're trying to shove it down our kids' throats. And that's never okay. So, we kind of were at the forefront, you know, we were.
And look what happened though. Mm-hmm. And look what happened though. Like the reason they went after so hard is because of that, because we were men being men. We were masculine men standing up and protecting people. And when they threw us in jail, they wanted to send a message to the world, to the country, that masculine men aren't wanted. You belong in jail. And then, you know, you segue to what happened on the bus in Charlotte. You look at the husband who gets cucked out by the dyke chick at the Phillies game, who, when she runs up to his face, he shrieks back in fear. You know, they want to attack us, but we're back. We're out of jail. And masculinity is going to make a comeback, and we're going to make sure that happens.
Yeah, make masculinity great again. It was basically what the Proud Boys is. And then, like, a lot of people ask, like, what's the Proud Boys' mission statement? And, like, we're not a very focused group. You know, like, a pro-life group focuses on, like, pro-life stuff. Mm-hmm. With us, we have different focuses. Even me and you, as close as we are and how our ideologies align, we have different focuses. And that's the beauty about the Proud Boys. It's like a Swiss Army knife when it comes to politics. A lot of people in this MAGA movement, and I'm not crapping on them at all, are good at putting pixels together, whether it's a podcast, whether it's memes, whether it's tweets, stuff like that. We're not known for that. We're known for things that we do in real life. Every time that we go to DC, Portland, Austin, we're protecting people from assault from Antifa and BLM, which, you know, you don't see them anymore. It's direct action. You don't know us because we make spicy videos. We do that too. But you know us because we are on the forefront, like every time.
The tip of the spear.
Every picture that you see, we're there. So, and we're going to continue to do so in the future. We're not changing anything. You know, it's worked out for us because we don't care what other people think about us. We're just us.
Well, yeah, you know, that's one of the things too that people have to stop doing is, and we've learned this, I think, better than most groups, most people still, is you don't let these labels of, oh, you're a racist, you're an anti-Semite, or you're a white nationalist, or you're a nationalist, or you're a Christian, you know, able-bodied male. Like, who cares? Who cares what people call you? The only people's opinions that you should care about are the people that you love and that you know you, your family, your spouse, your children, your best friends, your club. You know, those opinions matter, but when a bunch of random people on CNN, you know, start calling us these names or the New York Times or whatever like that, you know, we just sit there and we shrug it off. Because if you sit there and you spend all your time up against the ropes, you know, trying to dodge racist, anti-Semitic, white guy, you know, nationalist, you know, What are you not doing? You're in defensive mode and you're not fighting back. And we've just learned to just counteract those. We're like Neo in the Matrix, ducking and dodging them while we're still moving forward, achieving our objective. And let's talk about what is the Proud Boys' objective? What has it been?
So the Proud Boy objective, it's funny. I always say this because it depends on who you have sitting in the seat that you ask that question to. Because again, like, we focus on different avenues. And the main focus is if you want one focus, it's make better men. How do you make better men? You make better brothers, better sons, better neighbors, better fathers. That's how you create better men. So to me, I might take a different approach than another one of my brothers. And something that you said before is, you know, it's not just that we like get that negative energy they try to throw at us and we kind of just like dodge it. We actually use it to our advantage. We get that hate and we turn it around and we turn it into a force for good. Given that, like, there's some Proud Boys in California are very well known for putting up raiding billboards and putting up like messages, like cultural messages, not even political messages, cultural messages. Like, my chapter there locally focuses on politics. I'm a very political person, and some other chapters just want to drink beer and just want to be left alone. And the problem is that the left isn't leaving the American people alone. And that's where we run into these problems.
Yeah, you got to be willing to stand up and fight. You got to be willing to get in the trenches, get your hands dirty. You got to be willing to be in front of, you know, the media at points of time and take the backlash. You've got to be willing to take the heat if you want to have the glory. And that's something that, you know, I'm not saying that we're out looking for glory, but we're looking for glory in a sense that we want American exceptionalism, that we want men to grow up, to start families, to be good fathers, to be entrepreneurs, to create these businesses. And that's one cool thing that we have in the club. The club's not just a drinking club with a political problem or a political club with a drinking problem. We're a network too. We're a family, but we network. We've got tons of men in our club that are business owners that create jobs for other guys in the club to help them get them off the feet. We've got guys that have been homeless and we brought in and helped them get started and land a job and clean their acts up. We've had guys who have had issues with drugs and we've gotten them the help that they need to be. When we have family members who are hurting, who are down, who've been in car wrecks, who've got cancer, what do? We put up a fund and we auction stuff off, because almost each and every one of us have a unique talent. You know, we're such a diverse group of men. You know, we've got guys who do woodwork. We have guys who do ironwork, who are mechanics. And we use that network to help each other out. And that's one of the beautiful things about this club. And we need more clubs like this. We need more men being around men, because the best way you can learn to be a man is from another man over there that you see, that you look up to. It's okay to look up to people and to not idolize them, but to be inspired by the fact that they're a good husband and they raise their children in a godly way, that they go out to work, that they have the right types of, you know, priorities set, and they're living an example that is worthy to inspire men. So that's what we want to do. And I hope that's something that we can continue to do as we advance this club, as we continue to grow it. And as we all mature and learn from our mistakes in the past, I think that we have a great path forward.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's, you hit the nail on the head when you said that. You know, we help each other out, you know, and it's not just the club, we help others out. I had this awesome auction yesterday. It was called Giving Back J6. It's something that the Proud Boys have done internally for a long time. And it's like, if there's a brother in need, we pool money together and we do an auction. Yesterday we raised almost $5,000 for a couple, a J6er couple that was struggling, you know, and they're business owners. They're trying to get their business off the ground, and we were able to, in less than 20 minutes with a couple of people right on Twitter, we're able to raise $5,000, and the money went directly to them. It didn't go to like a fund or an organization. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it went directly 100% of the proceeds. Nobody took anything. And we're going to continue to do that, because we're going to continue to help people that that think like us, right? Because that's what it is. It's a team sport at this point. I don't want it to be a team sport, but that's what it is. Unfortunately, that's what it's become. And I'm a team player when it comes to that.
Yeah, you know, the left, they come together for everything. You know, you look at whenever Antifa goes and commits these acts of terror, actual domestic terrorist violence, you know, firebombing courthouses, police stations, and things like that. You see people like Kamala Harris, LeBron James, these people all pull together and they bail each other out. They use their leftist DAs to get them out with a slap on the wrist. And the right just doesn't really quite get that sometimes. The Proud Boys get it a lot, but the right in a whole just doesn't get too many wolves in sheep clothing. There's too many people out for themselves. They only care about, you know, what headline they can get, you know, a viral video or soundbite. But most of the people that we have on the right are weak. They're spineless cowards. They don't stand up for the things that they say they believe in. The leadership we have right now, and I'm not talking about Trump or anything. I'm talking about, you know, just a lot of our state level, you know, congressmen, senators, things like that. They don't really represent us. They're representing themselves. And a lot of times foreign entities in other countries, they're taking money through AIPAC and other places like that. So one thing that we have to do within the club and something that we should be doing on the right is we can sit here and scream at the sky and shake our fists and be angry. Or what we could do is really start to make changes and get involved locally. We need to start running for office locally. We need to find people that have good values. We need to find good men and women who are going to actually do what they're saying they're going to do and rally behind those people. And we need to make sure that we're raising our children to have good values so that when they are good, when they're children and they're growing up and they get to a point where they can run for office, they haven't been a bunch of hoodlums running around like a bunch of degenerate clowns. So when they do run for office, they've got all this dirt that could be used on them. You know, we need it's okay to walk that straight and narrow path. I know it sucks that the best route is the hardest route. You know, it's not always the funnest. It doesn't involve drinking and partying and all that stuff. But there's nothing wrong with putting a lot of that stuff aside and, you know, just focusing on, you know, if you're really upset with the way the country is going, if you're really upset with how your state's doing things, then sober up, get your mind right, get off the internet, read more, educate yourself, talk to your family, go to church and get into a position where you can go out there and inspire people, and run for office and really get to a point where you can get at a national level and make bigger changes. Because right now we've got so many people in the swamp, you know, Look at Bongino, look at Cash Patel. You know, these people talked a great game for a long time, but then what happened? They walked right into the FBI and it's business as usual. So I'm sick and tired of seeing that stuff. And I'm hoping that's something that, you know, the club's going to do. We're going to start promoting men that we see that have that ability to be firebrands, that are good on camera, that can be on stage, that can hold a conversation and hold, you know, a crowd's attention and get up there and really speak with fire and, you know, promote what this country was founded on. We've gotten so far away from it. We call it a democracy when we are, in fact, a constitutional republic. The left is slowly changing definitions of words in real time right in front of us. And it makes it so easy for the people who are young and uneducated to be confused and not really know what America is.
So it's a multifaceted approach. And I'd like to say that, you know, the organization, the Proud Boys, have inspired a lot of people to do a lot of good. When it comes to Bongino and Cash, you know, I want to be patient. I understand investigations take time, but we're running out of that time. Well, actually, we ran out of that time. You know, now anybody that gets arrested from now going forward can push their trial all over, all the way past, January 20th of 2025. So, it's important that these people we hold them to a high standard because they were the ones that set that standard before they went in there. The FBI was going to be a museum, you know, the FBI headquarters in DC. And I get it. That's just metaphoric, but we're not even getting a metaphoric museum with Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. Another one's Pam Bondi. You know, look, I think Trump has made great decisions on some of his picks, a lot better decisions this time around. But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to put them to their own, hold them to their own standard. So I think that we really need to, we only got less than 3.5 years at this point to change things around. And I know you have too. Like, we've been blackpilled in a way. But that black pill is what motivates us to move forward and do something about it. Yeah. And not just sit down and be like, oh, well, you know what? There's nothing else we could do. Let me just sit back. You know, it's important. It's important that people get involved.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't feel like I'm not blackpilled all the way. You know, I might, yeah. I go on some rants sometimes and it can be dark, you know, but just because, you know, we've been put through the ringer and, you know, yeah. when you've been through hell and back and when you've had to go through combat and then you go through a different kind of combat, which is prison in itself. And you yeah. go through solitary confinement and you see the internal workings of the BOP and the DOJ and the FBI and the court system at a federal level. It is easy to just get down on the country in itself and to just feel like there's no hope.
Joe, you also talked about the changing of words and what the consequences of those changing, like the use of words by the left. And I'll give you a prime example, something that happened to us, like the use of the word sedition, right, is the attempting to overthrow the U.S. government, right? And just in those changing of words and putting that in people's head, oh, these are seditions, that cost us, that almost cost us decades of our lives. Because they decided to change the definition of a word. Like, those words should be used in their context. Like, sedition should be used if somebody attempts to overthrow the government by the use of force, right? Using firearms, going after, you know, those are acts of sedition.
But it's
walking
not even just
in
that,
and out of the Capitol. Go ahead.
But I'm saying it's not even just that, too. The other part of the sedition is, in order to overthrow the government, you have to have had people picked to place in the positions of power. So you would have had to have had who was going to be the president, the vice president, the secretary of war, the head of the IRS, you know, the department of, you know, whatever, you know, the DOJ, attorney general, all this stuff. You
secretary
had to have had that kind of, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what it is now, you know.
I love it.
Take it back old
it.
School. I do too. And maybe one day I'll get to be that. But look.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's part of it. That's part of the definition of what that was. Just the same thing with conspiracy. Look what they did with conspiracy. Conspiracy is, you know, two or more people sitting down and they have a conversation and they make a plan and they agree upon something to do. Then it changed to, no, it doesn't have to be a plan or a meeting of the minds. It just has to be a wink or a nod in a split second that happens. There has to be no spoken words. Like, they literally changed judicial. They changed these terms in real time so they could convict us. And if that doesn't scare the American people, I don't know what else does. I mean, maybe a hooded guy on the back of a train ready to cut your throat. But, you know, that's really what they're doing. That's right now when they change the words, that's the same thing as a hooded guy sitting behind you. And anytime you're ready to cut your throat, because we were sitting here being normal, peaceful human beings, and then the judicial system came in, America versus the Proud Boys came in with a knife right up our neck and slit our throat and threw us in prison, tried to take our life from us. They wanted to give us 36 years or 34 years, both of us.
Yep. And they got, and for that, they have to pay, right? I use the word retribution a lot. And when I say retribution, I don't mean violent retribution. I mean justice. You know, these people need to be put in prison. Right. And reparations need to, we hear about reparations from the left all the time. Reparations need to be given to these 1600 individuals and the rest of their families, you know, and that's just step one. That's just like the right thing to do. After that, if we don't seek justice and we don't get justice, Biggs, me, you, and the rest of you viewers out there, the people watching this, we're going to be cellmates, right? And we're the next thing, because they want to end us.
And that's what people understand is they've already successfully come from us. They've already successfully overthrown the government. Really, when they stole the election, they overthrew the country. That was a coup. successful one. And they tried to use the January 6th as a way to cover it up. Look, we're getting ready to go into break. But don't forget, we've got this $10 ultimate fundraiser sale that's going on. Go to the InfoWars store right now. We see you in a minute on the other side.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on. But we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on because 80% of the funding goes into legal because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to theellisshowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum. Of the ultramethylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue, well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best IRC moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them, and they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together, so it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there, limited time, thealexjonesstore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75, $75.01, suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount off of everything. But you really want to get the ultramethylene blue. You want to get the bovine colostrum. Ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about bovine colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot. The hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the bovine colostrum selling out. The capsules from methylene blue selling out. The Shilajit gummies are selling out. The IRC Moss capsules are selling out. And so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days. So take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, if your information is powerful, you want to get the ultramethylene blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other methylene blue before. I didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. To secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try ultramethylene blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
And welcome back to the War Room on Infowars.com. I'm your host, Joe Biggs, and we are joined today with Enrique, former chairman of the Proud Boys, seditious conspirator, and Rabble Rouser. What's up, brother?
What's up? Good to be here. I say it again. It's crazy that we're on the War Room.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
It's an honor.
You know, there's a lot of times out there when you just don't think that you were ever going to see the light of day. You know, tell me about that. You know, out of all of us, I think you got moved the most. I did the most in solitaire, but you got moved the most, right? Like you were constantly bounced around. Like, what was that like?
I was just talking
and tell people like about that. Kind of like give people like an overview of like what that means. You know, when you're in the BOP as a prisoner, like what's normal and then how you were treated.
So let's talk about what's normal. Okay. So I was obviously we were in medium. So we're with a lot of lifers. Lifers are people that got like life sentences, you know, and all those people that have been in prison for like 30, 40 years, like they got moved around maybe like 3 or 4 times. That is normal, right? Maybe abnormal is that you get moved about 10 times, double that. I got moved 40 times in 3 years that I was locked up. A little bit less than 3 years, I got moved 40 times, and it was for a reason, right? They didn't want me to have communication with the outside world. They didn't want me. They wanted to break me down right before trial. They wanted to break us all down before trial. And that also doesn't allow me to communicate with my family. I can't get mail. I can't get commissary anywhere I go. So I have to eat the slop that they give you. You know, it's a whole different reality than what we even see in like prison documentaries and prison movies and stuff like that. It's pretty bad. You know, and
let them know. Let them know like what a day is like. So let's say here you are, you're sitting at, you know, Atlanta. You're sitting at the Atlanta prison and the guard comes in and goes, all right, pack up. You got to go. What happens after that? So people can kind of understand that process and just how ridiculous it is and how much money as a country we're spending to do this just to try to mess with your head.
So in my case, so they'll knock on your door. They'll be like, okay, pack up. They give you about like 30 minutes to pack up all your stuff. You really don't have anything because you don't have commissary. So it takes you 2 seconds to pack up. You just grab your stuff. And then they put you in another cell for hours on end the night before. You're in another cell with no mattress, no pillow, nothing like that. And then they chain you in what these, it looks like a medieval torture device. It's called box cuffs. It's like these plastic boxes, around your hands. And then they tie that to your waist and you're sitting there. And by UN's own standards, an inmate shouldn't be put in box cuffs for more than 4 hours. They'll have you there they had me there one time for 26 hours. That was the highest, but the average is always like 12 hours because that's usually what the movement is. And then you get to a spot that might not be the spot that you're going to get to. So you're sleeping overnight at another county jail. And the same process. They'll knock on the door. All right, pack your stuff. You're leaving. They'll put you in the holding cell. They put you in the box cuffs. And then they cannot, by policy, they cannot open the door to that van. So you're not even going to get off to urinate. You got to urinate in a Gatorade bottle. They'll maybe give you one sandwich on that 12-hour ride. And it's continuous. And that was my life for about 3 years. You know, and sometimes, you know, some of these cells don't have windows, so you don't even know what time it is, right? They knock on the door. You think it's like 6 in the morning. No, it's 9 o'clock at night, the night before. So these things aren't something that's common. I know you went through it, right? I know you spent more time than I did in solitary confinement, which is inhumane. None of us were charged with, they're not violent charges. Look, I have no problem with violent criminals getting the time. I don't think anybody argues that, but like you walked in and out of the Capitol, you didn't touch a cop. You didn't say anything crazy. I was in Baltimore in a hotel room, you know, and they're like, okay, well, not only are we going to give you these excess amount of time, that time you're not going to do like a regular inmate, right? You're not going to do it. You're not going to do that time like a pedophile or a rapist. You're going to do it much worse. And they get on top of that, they get less time than we did. So. The whole experience would traumatize anybody, but I'll tell you what, going back to the organization, you know, my brothers helped me prepare for this. You know what I'm saying? It made me a stronger man. So I was able to get through, you know, not completely unscathed, but mentally unscathed. And there's a lot of people that wouldn't be able to handle that. And that's what's coming next. If we don't get that just retribution that we need.
Yeah, I have a feeling they'll come after us. Even you and I mean, even though that we've been commuted or pardoned, I believe that they are, because, we were targets for a long time. I mean, we found out that InfoWars was being looked at by the FBI, I think starting in 2013, or maybe it was early 2014. It was around the time I started working there, which is the time that FBI would show up when I was doing InfoWars reports at the border. Like, hey, why are you out here? Why are you looking at this? Why are you looking at the border? So they don't like people who take action, and we're direct action kind of guys. We stand up for our rights. We stand up for the women around us. We stand up as men, and that's a threat. So regardless, they can't get us for double jeopardy, but they can find something. And, if they do take back power, they really don't care about rules and regulations anyways. I mean, they never have. I mean, look. They right there in the open stole an election. We saw it happen in real time. We saw the windows getting covered up. We saw the ballot boxes being pulled out in the middle of the night. We saw these floods happening just out of nowhere. And we saw Trump's lead, a substantial lead, deteriorate in minutes, it seemed like. And when everybody woke up, they were mind blown. So if you don't think that that kind of thing can happen again, look, they've already had their test run. They've already got it down. They started the first time with Hillary Clinton when they pushed Bernie Sanders aside and threw her in takeover. And then they went for the big dog the next time. They went after Trump and they put in a puppet. They put in a guy that wasn't even cognitively even there, who can't even wipe his own ass, who can barely lick an ice cream cone, but he can sure as hell smell a kid's hair, and sniff on a kid all day. It's sick what these people are. It's sick what they're capable of doing. They have no shame. And people got to realize, this information war, this battle at the ballot box, it's real. And if you don't take it seriously and you don't go outside every day with your head on a swivel, you're going to be a victim. And like I said, if they came for us, they can come for you.
Biggs, you know what pisses me off?
A lot of stuff.
But what pisses me off a lot is when liberals go ahead and say that the Capitol was stormed because Trump declared that it was a stolen election, right? And they don't have short-term memory. This goes all the way back to 2016 during a presidential debate where Hillary Clinton decided to dehumanize a bunch of not even Trump supporters, just conservative Americans, and call us a basket of deplorables. That's the beginning of it. And then you move your way through 2017 to mid 2018. They wanted to take our voices away. And what did they do? They pressured social media. The government pressured social media companies to knock us off. This isn't a conspiracy theory. That's what they were doing. Next, they knew that they saw that couldn't happen. That didn't work. So what did they do? They went after financial platforms, Cash App, PayPal, like the basic ones.
Chase.
And then that didn't work either. They came after credit card processors for business owners, right? You couldn't process credit cards. And then you saw us fast forward to COVID. There was a lot of things in between there, but to keep it short, COVID, they locked us down like a bunch of animals, right? And then they allowed Black Lives Matter to burn cities to the ground for a whole summer while telling us, well, we shouldn't be going outside, right? And then on top of that, they steal an election. And you have the cojones, right? That's how you say audacity. It in Spanish. The audacity to say that, oh, it was because of the stolen election. Did you not forget that you dehumanized us for a whole 4 years? Like, we're pissed off. I'm still pissed off, right? And I want justice.
In 2018, on July 4th, we did a freedom of speech rally at, Freedom Plaza in D.C.
Freedom Plaza.
Remember, we're on the way there. I think you were in the cab with me. It was me, you, Adriana, and maybe Jacob or something like that. I'm going live on my phone on Facebook, and then the feed shuts off. I'm banned. And me, being like, mentally retarded in a sense with autism or something, I go to my Instagram because I'm forgetting that Instagram is Facebook, So I go to that, and it's like, won't go live. And I'm, oh, yeah, that's right. So I go to Twitter, then I go to Periscope, and I go to all these things, and everything's shut down. And then next thing I know, my rideshare app says that I'm banned. And then I find out, I get an email seconds later from Chase Bank and Bank of America. They did it all in one day. All of big tech came together in cahoots to ban people. And that's mind blowing. And people still sit around and they sit at home and they watch their football and they watch baseball and they scream at the TV because so and so didn't throw the football or the sports ball to this person. And they're mad about that. And they will go out in the streets and they'll kill people over Popeye's chicken. They'll go out there and they'll kill people because someone bumped into them and disrespected them and smudged their shoe. But you won't go out there and you won't fight for your country when they deplatform you and dehumanize you and shut down your only way of living to take away your ability to support and provide for your family. That is your basic human right to be able to do that, to be able to support your family. And they have taken that from us time and time again. And what do? They sit there on the couch and they scream about sports ball. They scream about the dumbest stuff, what's on MTV. They scream about the stupid Cracker Barrel logo that I don't care about. More important things in this world to be upset about.
I mean, at this point, you don't even have to, you said, oh, somebody smudges your shoe or does something. At this point, like, I mean, this proves it. This woman that was in Charlotte, it proves it. You don't even have to smudge a shoe. You just have to exist for them to want to do these things to you. They don't care. They've never cared, right? They've pretended that they care. And then full circle, when I started this, I said, you know, they use minorities as like pet mouthpieces, right? And they're like, oh, look what I've helped the African-American community. Well, what the hell did Obama do for the African-American community? Absolutely nothing, because it isn't about race. It's about power, right? And they get surprised that people, that aren't white voted for Donald Trump. They don't get it. It's really about ideology. At the end of the day, like, you screw people over, you know, and they're going to stop voting for you. And again, I say this, I don't understand, like, if they want power, how are you going to keep leaning into those losing cultural issues that nobody cares about? You know, and we see it on the right too. You saw it with the Cracker Barrel thing. You know, I really didn't care about it. I don't even think I posted. I posted like a meme because some of them are funny. But other than that, I don't care what Cracker Barrel does with its logo.
I mean, but it is about race though, for the left though. It is about race for the left.
Yes.
Though,
because of course.
Everything is race related to that, because, you know, for us, we care about ideology. We want to make sure that, you know, that you have the same kind of ideals, that you still believe that America can be great, that it is not a failed experiment yet, you know, that we still have fight. I'm not that black-pilled to think that there's still not hope for this country. I still believe that real men and women can stand up and turn things around, but are they going to do it? That's the question. Look at the left. You see a black guy who goes, yeah, for Obama, all right? You know, I didn't vote for a Democrat. I voted for Trump. Then what is he? He's Uncle Tom. They'll call him the N-word to his face. You know, you'll see a bunch of overprivileged, fat and skinny little ninjas they call Antifa running around, and they're like, you know, Lululemon spandexes, like a bunch of homosexuals hopped up on, you know, cocaine. And they're running around screaming at some black guy, calling him the N-word because he's not, you know, he didn't vote the same way that they're supposed to. See, the left likes to put everybody in a box by their color, and black people have to vote a certain way and have to think a certain way. And if you're black and you're not a Democrat, well, then you're the N-word and you're a piece of crap and we don't care about you. If you're gay and you're not pro-LGBT and you're not pro-drag queen, this and that, and you're not pro having pride flag events all over the place and throwing a bunch of drag queens and trannies into a school, you know, then you're a bigot and you're a fake, you know, whatever, you know. And it's just, it's amazing that people don't see through a lot of that madness, and they continue to allow it to happen.
In my 40 years of life, you know, I've never been called, nobody's dropped an N-bomb out of anger, you know, to me. The first time somebody's ever dropped an N-bomb was at that event that you're talking about back in 2018 on 4th of July. And it came from like this Antifa white dude, that decided to drop the N-bomb, on me. Again, it didn't bother me. I don't care. what some dude in like some ninja outfit, says about me, you know, and like, they've played that race card so much that they tangle themselves. Since it's not about ideology and it's about virtue signaling, they tangle themselves. Now, like, where do they sit? They were so pro Israel before, right? Now, where do they sit now with this situation? Now you got like this deep divide between them because they virtue signaled for so long on both sides that now they look like a bunch of, I'm not going to say the word, but they look like a bunch of retards.
But think about, you know, just the perfect example of that event in DC between the left and the right. Remember Daryl Lamont Jenkins?
Of course. He's all the oppressions.
For a lot of people who don't know who that is, he is this guy, I believe, out of like Philly. He's a big time Antifa guy. So he's out there this day. And what is he? What happens? We let him come over to our side, to the Patriot side, so to say, whatever you want to call it, where we're having our event. And people surround him and they just get into heated discussion. There's a little like, you know, raised voices, but at no time did this person ever feel like his safety was at risk, that he was going to be hurt. But I remember this day for the rest of my life because you walked up and I go, okay, here we go. And you look at Daryl and you go, look, man, I can guarantee your safety here, but how about you walk me over there to your side where Antifa is? And what did he say?
He was being honest. He said, I definitely can't guarantee your safety. Actually, as a matter of fact, you shouldn't go to that side, you know? And listen, I would have gone anyways if it wasn't for the Metropolitan Police Department stopping me from going. But regardless of the fact, it shows you like the contrast. Like you could come over here and scream at me all you want. You know, as long as you don't put hands on me, I'm good. You could yell, you could bullhorn, you can do whatever you want. But if my presence alone makes you want to commit an act of violence against me, you know, my ideology isn't the problem. It's not, you know.
I mean, how many times have we put up posters, wanted posters of our so-called enemies when they come into our areas? None. I mean, we've gone into Portland, Seattle, D.C., and they've literally put up wanted posters of you and I with bounties, literal bounties. They have hunted us, stalked us. They have run us over. They have stabbed us. They have shot us and killed us. One time they tried to blind my boy right here. We were leaving, an event in DC. He got in the back of the air, what do you call it? The Lyft or the Uber. And I'm sitting in the front passenger seat and I look back and I go, oh, wait, I got a bad feeling. I go, Enrique, roll your window up. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
He goes, I'm trying to smoke a cigarette. And I go, roll your window up. Something's going to happen. And sure enough, the window starts coming up and this guy on a bicycle comes by with one of those extended batons. It comes right through. And luckily the window was one of those angled ones. So when it came, it stopped and then it made it go up just over his head and didn't hit him. He would have lost an eye. I mean, it was insane.
That also shows you how weak they were because he couldn't even break a window with one of those things. Yeah.
It shows you the mental insanity. Like, you know, these people are full of insane people and we need to bring back insane asylums. We need to put a lot of these people in there. But at the same time, you also have to look at when you put in people in insane asylums and things like that, what happens when the other side gets in power. So it's one of those catch-22 things. It's just like with the labeling of this, the trans shooter that shot up the school. People are saying we want to ban transgenders from happening. But I don't think that's kind of the same thing. If you think about that, the transgender thing, what he's saying is they want to label transgenders as mentally ill, and we already have laws in place for people who are mentally ill to not have firearms. So we're not saying we're banning transgenders because that's kind of a slippery slope if you use that language, because then they could just start labeling different types of people that identify a certain way. So it's trans first, but then it could be conservative in 4 years or whatever like that. So there's a whole weird thing to it.
You know, I try to be as objective as possible, you know, and yes, doing things like that does kind of put us in a danger zone. Everybody, all Americans in a danger zone, because then who gets to choose what's a mental health issue, right? Then they'll say, oh, MAGA is a mental health issue. But I've learned this game a long time ago. And unfortunately, that constitution,
doesn't mean anything anymore, right? It's a perfect document in a world that doesn't care about it. The name of the game, it's a chessboard. The name of the game is take your opponent's pieces off the playing field. And that's what they tried to do with us, right? They took the smaller pieces, and they took the rooks, the knights, the bishops. And then at the end, the 1600, arrests, and plus if Kamala Harris would have stolen the election, it would have been a lot more. But their main goal was the president. They wanted to take him out. They wanted to put him in prison where he can't run for president, or in our case, try to get us to flip on him so they could charge him with seditious conspiracy, and that would have taken him off the ballot, because that was what they were trying to do. They're like, well, he committed an act of insurrection, and technically their sedition is in the insurrection category. So it's our goal, it should be our goal, to take their opponent's pieces off the playing field also. Doing it intelligently, but if we don't do it and we sit back and we're like, oh, well, we're higher than thou, we're going to be the bigger people, that's going to cost us. Put them in jail, and put them in jail now. And put them away for a long time.
I don't understand this conversation that Pam Bondi, Bongino, Cashman Outside Patel are saying, all right, be patient. You know, I remember January 20th, 2021, when the FBI came into our houses and the raids began, as soon as I might have been one of the first ones when when Biden put his hand on the Bible and swore in his oath of office. I mean, they came quick.
When
they were swift.
They kick your door in at the same time. I'm at 1% battery on my MacBook. So if I go away, you'll know why. But, while he was getting inaugurated, your door was getting kicked in. And by this time, they've already arrested 700 plus January Sixers. So is Merrick Garland more effective than Pam Bondi? It seems to me like he is.
I mean, I call her death the Bermuda Triangle, because it seems like anytime something goes there, it gets lost forever. You know, we're not seeing the action that we should be seeing. It's not that hard to get people in front of these judges. It's not that hard. Because you know what, over the last 4 years, we've had a front row view to this, corruption. We've seen them commit these crimes in real time. And for some reason, our law enforcement agencies, our federal agencies are going, I'm still looking. I can't figure it out. I don't know where it is. You know, it blows my mind, because like I said, when they immediately got to work, they were already on it. The narrative was being spun. The stories were changing. They were taking and changing the narrative of J6 in real time. They got the J6 panel going, where they were able to, on live TV for a long time, manipulate, brainwash, and propagandize people. So here we are. We're down to the last minute. I want to thank you for coming on, man, and talking to me. It's been a great time. It's good to see you again, and it's good for us to be able to have this opportunity to just talk on here. You're one of my best friends, man. I love you to death, and we've been through a lot, and I'm glad that we can share this opportunity together right here on this show. Well, he's gone. All right. I guess his computer did cut out. All right. Well, look, don't forget, we still have these sales going on. It's the $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. Get free $10 credit with every order over $75 in this critical fundraiser sale for a limited time only. You've got methylene blue, bovine colostrum. You've got CMOS capsules. There's so much. Don't miss out. Orders over $75, get free $10 credit, and get on it. Go to the alexjonesstore.com, and we'll see you guys next time. I'm Joe Biggs. This is The War, and God bless you, and have a good night.
Go to thealexjonesstore.com and experience these products like ultramethylene blue. It will change your life. It will be so empowering for you, and then you'll be hooked and keep buying it so we can stay on the air and expand, which is my plan in the face of all these globalist attacks. So I'm announcing this on Tuesday, September 9th. We're only running this till next Tuesday. It is a giant, multifaceted sale. Ultramethylene blue, the best medical grade quality out there. The rave reviews are insane. Such good energy, such clarity, such focus, no letdown, 50% off. Same thing for the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the detox super empowering system for your cardiovascular system. Ultimate Life Force. Everybody should be taking this. It's the best formula out there, made from the two top best-selling formulas fused together. You need it. It is amazing. Just get it. Know you're supporting the broadcast so you can't lose, and then you'll be pleasantly invigorated, not surprised, I don't BS, when you get great benefits. But what you really feel quick and see the fastest is Dolce Methylene Blue. There's also another big sale going until next Tuesday. That's the Get Free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. When you spend $75 or more at checkout, $10 is taken off. So if you spend $75, when you check out, it's $65 on top of all the discounts. 25% off store-wide, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. The ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it. That's 25% off, and then $10 off at checkout on top of that. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates to keep this broadcast on the air. I don't own it, so they shut down InfoWars. That's our sponsor with the Alex Jones Network and what comes after. So we need the funds. They're incredible products. The only way you fail is not taking action. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.